What's up? Welcome to another episode. I'm Bobby.
This is Ray.
And I'm Emilio. Now you messed me up because you did it right. God damn it.
And I'm Emilio. No, bro.
No, God damn it. I'll be drunk by the end of this episode.
She's gone again. She's with her brother at Disneyland.
Yeah.
And then Bobby was at Disneyland yesterday.
Yeah.
And then I missed an episode because I was in Disneyland. Like, and then Emilio.
Disneyland's messing everything up.
I know, yeah. Dude.
Did you guys talk about that ride at Disneyland? Did.
No.
The ride. Dude. So they have two rides at Galaxy's Edge, but only one is open. The other one opens in January. So they've really gamified the whole experience over there. You talked a little bit about how they had that whole AR type. Dude. Experience, but the actual ride, you guys went on that, right?
We killed it. Well, I did.
We did pretty good.
So they send you into this ship, and it's like Star Tours, which is still there, but it's like Star Tours, except you have things to do. So I got an engineer card. I sat in the back, and I had to hit repair buttons and like
the worst
missile locks. It was terrible.
No, Gunner's the worst one. Gunner's just one button.
Oh, do you have multiple guns or multiple?
Yeah, we had two gunners, two engineers, but the pilot is definitely what you want to be.
Yeah.
The pilot's doing all the cool stuff. He's sitting at the very front.
It's tough because you can only go right and left or up and down. He was up and down and I was right and left.
No, I was left and right. And you were up and down. And hyperdrive. I gave you the hyperdrive.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And so there's people on screen that are telling you everything that you need to be doing, and plus you can tell just by what you're looking at. Problem was, nobody in my ship except me and my girlfriend spoke English, I think. So there was a lot of, I think there was a, they didn't really understand what they were supposed to be doing. So no
time
buttons.
To racism, under 2 minutes. It's good job, everybody.
Hey, no, that's
we
fine.
Can wrap
there
it up
was
right
a
now.
Lot they could interpret from there, but the kids were just like, they had no idea what was going on. They're just like, whatever.
The first time we had the two girls going at it, and that was just hilarious. We had Mila crying, and then we had Gia.
Two seven-year-olds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Flying.
It was horrible.
It was horrible.
Side to side, up and down.
Yeah.
Well, and then the next time, it was Emilio and I, and I was like, dude, we're going to kill it. You know, we're fucking gamers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing left and right, and, you know, it's one-handed, but I was holding it like this. I was just, like, very slow left and right. I was totally doing it. And then whenever we crash, it's because I'd be like, pull up. Dude, Emilio, pull up. And, Emilio's just like, oh, it's so pretty.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of the downfall of this type of game. It does give you stuff to do. You do interact with it, but at the same time, you're pulling your eyes away from the screen, especially me as the engineer. All the way in the back, I have to turn to my left to press these buttons and see which ones are lighting up, and it's distracting. I want to watch the screen and see what's going on. After a while, I realized, like, nobody was doing what they were supposed to be doing, so I was just like, all right, screw it. I'm just going to watch the watch the video. But, yeah, the Star Wars land was awesome. I mean, it really feels like you are in a Star Wars area, an outpost.
What did you say that I think it's the best play sets I've seen, or the play sets or set pieces that I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, it looks very realistic. That part where you're waiting in line and you go into the little waiting area in the Millennium Falcon, I was like, wow, I feel like I'm on the set. I feel like I'm there.
Did you Did you buy anything?
I didn't. I really liked it. It wasn't for sale, but I really liked this. I guess it was a statue, but it was encased in something. It was of the Sarlacc pit. Did you guys see that?
Yeah, it was a small one, right?
Yeah, you could actually see underneath the Sarlacc pit and see his whole body down in there. That was pretty cool. I was like looking through the merchandise they had there. Very interesting. My girlfriend asked if they had any stickers, and they're like, oh, no, we don't sell stickers. If we did, people would just stick them everywhere. So I don't think you can buy any stickers in Disneyland anywhere. They have patches, they have magnets, all that stuff. And also, I was going through some stuff, and of course, my girlfriend, who doesn't know Star Wars that well, she's like, oh, what's this? What's that? You know, me, I'm like a nerd. I'm like, oh, well, that's a Wampa. That's a Tauntaun. And then we got to one. I'm like, oh, like, I've never thought about it before, but a dewback sounds kind of racist, doesn't it?
A dewback?
Because it's slightly wet.
Slightly wet. Yeah. But if you've seen Star Wars A New Hope, the special edition, it's when the stormtroopers are combing the desert. They're riding these big beasts, and they're called dewbacks. So it's like, huh, that doesn't sound right.
While South Park.
Oh, the goobacks. Yeah, and it sounds
so. There's a mix.
Like
yeah. That's what they get of both of those. So when we were there, there was a guy buying $1,200 worth of lightsabers, right?
Wow.
And he has this big thing, and I'm like, wow, he's a real super fan. I wasn't even thinking. I had no idea this is the only place you can buy those, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So obviously, they're going for five times.
They were.
He was paying for it.
They were. I actually went on eBay because. I was gonna buy the Darth Vader one,
yeah,
like the from the Legacy one.
He couldn't buy it while we were there because his girlfriend was there.
I was like, oh, they barely like. I was waiting my turn. I can hold it just so I can be like, yeah, I want it. And the moment that, like, I'm about to put it in my hands, she just, like, gets right next to me and just stares at me with, like, evil eyes. I'm just like, huh, you want to hold it? Nah, I'm good.
All that stuff is so expensive. But I didn't even think resale value has got to be insane, ridiculous. Especially right after the park opens.
It was. At first, it was. That Darth Vader one was selling for $500, and it was $120.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably gone down by now.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing that I kind of wanted to get was they had that build your own droid, and they had like a little, you could build like an R2 unit, and they had a little sombrero hat on it. I'm like, oh, that's too perfect, man.
$100, right?
$100.
No, it was, oh, no, not that one. Not like the big one. So I'm talking about the little ones over by Star Tours, and those were like $22.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, it wasn't that bad, but still.
And you didn't even pull the trigger?
No, man, where am I going to put this stuff? I don't just buy stuff, man.
Maybe in the background of your podcast. I'm done with you. Done.
Yeah, so that was fun. I thought they had torn down Star Tours. I didn't know that was still there, so I was excited to see that still up and running. No,
I could tell you what's going to happen down there, but it's a bunch of stuff.
Speaking of the backgrounds of the podcast,
talking.
We're all done with our current
setup. Yeah, this is not going to work out.
It's getting hot in California, and the glue is falling apart.
Yeah.
It's just not working for us, so expect something new hopefully next week.
And you too, Mobius. You too.
All right. So we've got a new Patreon giveaway that we're going to be doing pretty often here. Just Steam gift cards is what we decided on.
Yeah. The idea is if you're a Patreon, $5 and up, you will be getting into a raffle every 2 weeks, probably a $20 or $25 gift card every week. So that's just starting today.
Yeah. So a little more incentive for people at that $5 range. We know we upped the threshold for the t-shirts to $10, so $5, we want to give you a little bit more than just a green name on Discord. So yeah, every 2 weeks, $20 gift card on Steam, and your chances are pretty good.
The other thing on this episode, we have an episode
and you can only win once a month.
Oh yeah,
that's the other thing.
You think
you wasn't it
was I mean it's thing? Probably not gonna happen anyway, but yeah, I think that's fair.
Really? I swear Simon wins every time, no?
Yeah, it's true. Jens has won so much stuff from us. Fractal Josh is a chief. What is he? I don't know. He's the VP of marketing sales, global sales, something like that for Fractal Design. He's kind of like a personality within the hardware sphere. And so he's big on Twitter and stuff. So he's a fan. Surprise, surprise. Somebody likes us out there.
If you look at fractaldesigns.com, you've seen these before.
Yeah, you've seen these because I don't know if they sell direct, but a lot of people use them in their builds because they make really good, high-quality shit. And it's like Scandinavian design, real sleek, not a lot of frills on the outside, but high, super high-quality stuff. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he likes us, and so I asked him to do an interview. We had a pretty good interview. It's about half an hour long. If this episode doesn't go too long, we're going to tack it out at the end of this episode. If not, we'll decide later, but I'm pretty sure that's what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. And so listen for that. And also, he was gracious enough to give us a Celsius cooling unit, CPU cooling unit, for your PC, and we are going to give that away on Twitter. So follow us on Twitter. We're digital_logic with a K. And follow us because that's the only way you can win. And it'll more to that when we get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, and if you have trouble finding our Twitter, you can always go to dlgaming.net and it's on there.
Yep.
Yeah, and what is this on Twitter? Is that me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he told me about that. All right, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, Sniper's been tweeting for us. Doing good.
Yeah. Something about you and a white beater and making love to David Duchovny.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Well, apparently he has a hog on him, I've always heard.
Wow.
What was that show called?
Who's Got a Hog?
Californication.
Yeah, Californication.
Bobby, look it up.
Oh, he did porn. That's why. He did porn.
Who did? Duchovny?
Duchovny.
Really?
Yep.
And he went?
Him and Sylvester Stallone are probably the most famous guys who've done it.
I don't see Duchovny as, like, doing porn. I don't.
Girls love that dude.
Really?
I don't know. I don't see it either. I don't see it at all, but girls love him.
All right.
All right.
So let's get into the show here.
X-Files?
Time to Hog was under 5 minutes.
No, nobody?
The triple X-Files. Right. Yeah. That joke has to have been made before.
Yeah.
No? All right.
Okay, so on the radar, games that we have had our eyes on are things that have come to our attention. I wanted to start out with Stranger Things 3, the game. So this was on Steam.
Whatever you do, I'm on episode 5, so don't say okay. shit.
And I was going to ask that, too, because I got some questions about the last episode, particularly one thing that happened. Once you get there, let me know, and then we'll talk openly about it. Maybe put it at the end of the episode, just in case people want to tune out early.
So we're warning everyone now. Watch it before the next episode.
This for you.
Yeah. So this is Stranger Things 3, the game. There was never a 2. I guess they're just calling it 3 because it's season 3.
Yeah.
It looks like a Super Nintendo game, isometric. You're playing different characters, kind of an RPG, but also an action RPG. Action adventure, retro pixel graphics. It's $20, which kind of makes me a little hesitant to buy this, but the mobile game that they had was so good. And I hate mobile games. So
same
for
company,
me,
Bobby,
I don't know if it was the same company.
Think about it. $20
before we do that.
How much you used to pay? $60 for a Super Nintendo game? $50? $49.99?
I mean, this looks great. The graphics look awesome for that retro look, but I just want to make sure this is the same developer.
He's typing stuff on Google. I'm trying not to make anything.
Oh, no, I'm just researching the game. It's fine.
No, but dude,
finished.
If you type Stranger Things and news comes up, and then it's always like one person, like, you know, or some news article.
Yeah, the autocorrect and give away things. Let's see. Finnish developer Next Games is partnering with Net for a Strange. Okay, so Next Games made the original one for the mobile platform.
And this one is bonus XP. So all the clout from the first game does not apply to this. Although it does look pretty cool.
Yeah, but they're not going to give the title away. This came out the day that the episodes dropped on Netflix. So, you know, I mean, it could still be... it's still a mark of quality if they're going to make that. I don't know. It looks good, but $20, maybe when it's on sale. I don't know. This looks like something... It is multiplayer, so it looked like something I could play with my girlfriend, local co-op, shared split screen. I don't know. How are you liking the season, by the way, so far, Ray?
I'm loving it, dude. At first, it started kind of corny. I felt like it lost a little bit of its really cool feel that the other seasons had. Mm-hmm. And then it just got good. And I was like, all right, cool. I'm down.
I feel like the whole episode ramped up. Like, it started off, and you're like, okay.
I thought it was kind of corny.
It eases you back into it. And then it was just like every episode was better than the last.
Yeah.
Season 2, I wrote off. Like, I slept through most of it.
Dude, so I feel that season 2 was better than season 1.
I can't tell you if it's good or bad. Like, I was so busy that I was falling asleep.
I feel like it is because it's just, you know, season one gave us, you know, just everything. And we're like, we loved it because, like, oh, it's a cool show, you know. But then season two was so dark and cool and just, I don't know, man. Just the whole ending. And it was just fucking awesome. Man.
All right. Now that we're on Netflix, really quickly, I have to bring up Taco Chronicles. I know I'm Mexican and I'm probably genetically predisposed to really like this show. But everybody that's seen it likes it as well. We sat down, four generations of people, or three generations, Mila, the grandma, the wife, and we watched this documentary on tacos done really, really well. And, man, there's so much nostalgia. But non-Mexicans are saying that it's really good, too. I can highly recommend it, especially if you like food shows. But, man... They just really tie in how important tacos are to Mexico. I know it sounds crazy, but it's like our natural resource.
Yeah, it's on the flag, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not really an eagle, bro. It's a taco. It's been melting off the flag forever. So,
All right, next up, After the Fall.
Okay, so I'm a little veed. I'm like... I've been playing a bunch of fucking VR, guys. So, like, I've been looking into which new games are going to come out because, like, I'm so... I love it, dude. I'm, like, fucking virtual reality, dude.
He worked on that all week.
Dope, man.
Hey, where do you have it set up?
In my room for now.
Yeah.
It's only like a 2.3 by 2.3 meters or whatever.
Okay. So not much at all.
Not much at all. No, it's like... I have to stand right in the middle so I don't see the little lines.
Dude, you need a Murphy bed. Even more now.
No, dude. I know, right? No, whenever I want to go all out, I'm just going to take it downstairs again. I set it up in the garage.
Right.
But it would be dope if I had like two other sensors, and then I do like the full fucking garage. Because you can do the whole garage.
Oh, right.
But I have a pole in the middle, so people would be crashing into that shit. But would it be dope, though? It would add, like, you know. It'd be cool if it crashed into it at the same time, like, a zombie comes out. So it'd totally work out. But, okay, so this game is from the people that did Arizona Sunshine. So you know it's going to be good already. So it's four-player, dude. Four-player co-op.
Nice.
VR. Just going all out. You get to craft weapons. I feel like it's like... It's that one zombie game, Dead by Daylight.
Yeah.
But without the daylight aspect of it. And it's out in the cold. You know, it's the apocalypse. Everything got fucking cold. So they're like these white walker zombie type things. Everything's kind of frozen. And I just think it's super neat. It's online multiplayer, dude. And just having like four people with craftable weapons. You upgrade all your stuff. And they have like really special bosses to where like these huge like... I haven't seen that yet in any of the games I played to where like any of the enemies are, you know, larger than life.
Right.
I like imagine
in VR, you mean?
Yeah, in VR. Yeah. Like if we were playing Rage 2 and the boss character comes out, imagine seeing that in VR.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like fucking just looking up and like just aiming at there, you know.
There's probably a reason for that. I would imagine that's exactly it. They don't want people looking up for a long time, but
why not?
Yeah, I don't know. It should be awesome, right?
Have you seen that other game where you can look up skirts and stuff? I'd be looking up all the time.
No, I haven't, Ray.
No.
Please.
I mean, I don't play any of these games. No. I'll talk about that game later. But the game looks great, man. I think it's coming from these guys. It comes out next year. And they really haven't given, like, what day. But it's a survival game, straight up action, yeah. FPS. Probably fast-paced. Well, as fast as you can, you know. Teleport.
Is there so you have the index for mm-hmm. those who don't know? You just got it. That's yes. why your ball's deep.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a mic?
It's just like the Vive.
They don't have a mic.
There's a mic installed in the headset.
Oh, there is.
Yeah.
So when you're online, you could just talk to your team.
Yeah, I actually didn't know until I played I'll play one of the other games. But the mic is awesome, dude.
Oh, nice.
Well, if I said, because there was a dude when I was playing Pavlov.
Yeah.
There was a dude on there that was talking, and I told this guy, dude, I just bought an index. It's the first time playing this game. And the guy was like, oh, me too. I just bought an index too.
Mm.
And he sounded great. Mm. So I'm guessing I sounded the same way.
Mm.
But
so no price on this game yet.
No price on it yet, dude. But
2020 release.
I'm excited for this game. It looks like it's going to have one of those great VR graphics. Yeah. And
the co-op's a great idea.
Yeah, man. Four-player co-op, dude.
This is the weird part that I don't know either. So there's plans for Index going wireless, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. What if... Could you have two headsets at your house and two people playing?
You can have multiple headsets within the sensors. And there's stuff like that.
Yeah.
I've seen that.
I would imagine that they could do that.
Or just, you know, no one just has $2,000 lying around.
Welcome to DL Gaming Speculate.
But it looks awesome, man. That looks pretty cool. But so I was looking into that game, and then I saw this one, dude. And this one looks fucking awesome.
I thought I was excited, but now I was excited.
So this is a multiplayer game. It's one person wearing the VR headset, and there's eight of your friends running around, and you're a takeling, and they've invaded the neighborhood. So you're like, they're around your house, right? And
this is fucking awesome.
I know. So they're controlling them with like, you know, an Xbox controller, a PlayStation controller, or
so only one person needs to be in VR.
Yeah, and everyone else is just watching the TV or the monitor, and they can even use their phone as a controller because it's pretty much just up, down, left, right, jump, and probably like action button.
Right.
So you're supposed to capture them all, but let's say if I send one in a balloon, the other buddy can throw something at the balloon, pop it, and help him out. You know, we have to hide, and then I just looked at it. It looks like so much fun, man. It comes out at the end of, I think, next week or something.
Wow.
And but it's a party game in VR. And
so I imagine, like, if you had the setup that you did for your birthday.
Perfect.
Yeah, people would be sitting down looking at the screen playing
with their controller.
And you would be trying to smash them.
And I'd be smashing them.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, and then it's not just the kitchen. I think there's three or four different levels, so different parts of the house. And then, you know, you can kill these guys by either just smashing them with your hand or throwing them like in a waffle maker or in the toaster or frying them up in a pan or throwing them down like what's it called? The garbage disposal thing or chopping them up with whatever you have, you know, right? And these guys are hiding under cups or in the cupboards or like under you.
They look like different colored Mr. Meeseeks kinda.
Oh yeah. They gotta do. But I just thought it was so awesome. Like, he puts one of the dudes in the toaster,
And then he's trying to get the other one. And then the other buddy kind of sneaks over because there's a little timer comes up.
Yeah.
And like... And
pops so, up the toaster.
Yeah. And then so one of the buddies runs over and like unplugs the toaster. So then he takes them out and then they're like running around again.
There's another scene where the guy, the little things are in the wall and he's breaking the wall trying to find them behind the sheetrock. That's kind of cool, man. I like, this is one of these things you'd have an amazing one night with it.
Yeah.
And it'd be worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever they charge.
Yeah, you never play for you. I don't think you ever play this shit again.
Yeah, there's no price on it yet. Release date July 25th.
Comes out in 9 days.
And it's called Takeling's House Party.
I think it'll be like a $20 game. And I think it's totally worth it. Yeah. Because almost VR games are $29.99 anyways. This one will probably be $20.
Yeah, VR tends to be a little more expensive than you'd think.
I think more goes into it.
Well, yeah, it takes more to make them. All right, Lovecraft's Untold Stories.
A lot of people are complaining that... Shadow Master needs so much help getting his computer going. Guess what? His fucking linking game is on point. When he comes up with good games every week, and this is another one. This looks awesome. This is called Lovecraft's Untold Stories. It is... read the description, Bobby, because it's trying to be a lot of things.
Lovecraft's Untold Stories is an action roguelike with RPG elements. Explore randomly generated levels based in Lovecraft stories, fight cultists and all kinds of monsters from the mythos, improve your gear, solve puzzles, find clues.
Yep. If you take a look at it, it's kind of like what we were saying with Stranger Things earlier. It's 16-bit isometric, right?
It's, just, yeah. It's more of like a top-down.
Yeah.
It doesn't have that angle to it.
I just think these graphics are really cool. Like, I could totally imagine this game in 3D.
It's a single-player? Yeah, single-player.
Yeah, single-player. Only $10 right now. I think this is bought.
Yeah, on sale for $10.
Yeah, good reviews. It's bought. Bought! Nice. It's sitting on a shelf over there at Steam. They have to physically take it off the shelf when somebody buys it and put it into a machine, right?
Yeah, yeah,
when
totally. You buy it. That's how it works?
Yeah. Okay. I don't think mm-hmm. there's any cobwebs on this
it's,
one either.
It's like Amazon.
So I'll let you guys know how this is next week, maybe.
All right. Well, that's all that we have for On the Radar. Let's talk about some games that we have been playing. All right. First up, who wants to go first here? Well, we should talk about 13 so we can get David Duchovny out of the way.
All right.
So I started and finished 13. This is a game from 2003. That everybody forgot about, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Great game based on comic books.
How about never knew about?
No, I know. I knew about this game.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah,
I think a lot of people did. This was a pretty popular game. More popular maybe for its art style. It's very cel-shaded. It's meant to look like a comic book. The cutscenes are portrayed in panels. And they did a great job with it. This game, just right off the bat, I want to tell you, this game holds up more than any other game that I played from this generation. You know, I play a lot of those old first person shooters. This one I started playing and could not stop. I think I beat it in about three sittings, and I haven't even beat Clive Barker's Jericho yet. That game is like about half as long as this one. This one's about 9 hours.
I went in.
That's so weird. It looks so good. Oh my god,
it does look pretty cool.
No. I mean Clive Jericho.
Oh yeah. So I thought I was rescuing Bobby when I was like, hey dude, let's go play Divinity. We have some podcast stuff. I was like, let me pull him away from this. He's like, like he was having a hard time pulling himself away from this.
Yeah, no, it was a good game. So there's a lot of stealth in this game as well. There's some parts where you have to be stealth. I had to up the difficulty a little bit just to make it a little more challenging. But it uses a checkpoint system, which is kind of unusual for this time in history here. There are not a lot of checkpoint systems. So if you don't, no save points either, just checkpoints. So if you don't beat a part, you have to go all the way back to the last checkpoint and begin again from there. And that was a little frustrating at times, but overall, I really enjoyed this game. The story hooks you because it's, you know, a classic neo-noir whodunit. You know, you're a secret agent, you have amnesia, of course, you're trying to figure out all these things. Who can you trust? Who can't you? You know, just all that stuff. The story actually is pretty decent. The voice acting, the reason David Duchovny comes into this, David Duchovny voices the main character in this game. Also, Adam West voices the general in this, or some military figure. So some popular voice actors, or actors, I should say, in there. What I was talking about, I streamed most of this game too. So if you tuned into my stream, you probably saw me playing it. And Sniper was hanging out for quite some time, and we were talking. And I was saying, like, why doesn't David Duchovny do voice acting anymore? Because he was in a couple of games, most notably this one and another one called Area 51. He voiced the main character. Marilyn Manson voiced an alien in that game, by the way. But that was one I really enjoyed from early, mid-2000s.
Actually, this game really caught my attention because it came out on console. So, you know, maybe since it was during my, I think it was during my, like, not that much PC anymore, like, phase. There was more console. So whenever you saw a game like this with these kind of graphics, it really stood out because, you know, PC always looked better, you know, than console games and ran better. So whenever you got a game like this, you know, I think it was, this might have been, like, what, PlayStation 2 or something?
Oh, I remember my friend playing it on the Xbox. That was the first time I ever saw this game. And I remember just watching him play this game because it was so interesting.
Yeah, so it looks really cool. And then, like, you know, these graphics are great, you know. So they really stand out.
I was not able to get the widescreen fix working. And in order to get it working, you have to wipe your save files. So I didn't want to do that once I was, like, a couple hours into this game. I played it at, I think, like, I don't know, 1600 by 1200 resolution, but it was fine. It was still fine. It looked good there. The sniper rifle was great. What's really weird about this game, just the way that they construct this game, is there are perks that you get. You have to hit escape and go into the menu to actually see which ones there are, and they just give them to you. You don't earn them in any way. You just, once you reach a certain point in the game, you get those perks. So one of them may be, like, to have a much steadier shot with the sniper rifle. And once you get that, like, it's over. You can just one-shot people with the crossbow. What's really cool, what you're seeing right here, the sniping is so much fun in this game. When you do snipe someone or get a headshot, you see the panels pop up in the top left corner like a comic book.
Yeah, I thought
if you've read any comic book, you know that panel where you see, like, one bit of action played out over three panes, and, like, it's just, it's almost like slowing down time. So it's like the guy getting shot, then the next panel is him, like, reeling back in pain, and the third one is, like, the exiting of the shot, you know.
The fifth panel is his wife filling out the insurance forms.
But this game, and it changes environment a lot. Like, you go from setting to setting to setting in this game, and I think that's what I really enjoy about a lot of these old games too, because I get so bored in the same environment. That military guy you're escorting right here in this video, that's the character played by Adam West.
Now, Bobby, you're saying it's a little too easy, and then you played it, you upped the difficulty. Do you think that has to do with it, like, releasing? It was a simultaneous release, right, on consoles and PC, or?
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it was. So, well, probably.
So did it suffer from consoleitis? Like, did it?
Maybe. I think you're okay. So the difficulty settings are a little weird. Like, you have arcade, which is the first one. I don't know what that means. The next one is normal. The next one is realistic. And when I see realistic in a difficulty setting, I assume that's like one or two shots and you're dead, you know? Mm-hmm. So I didn't really want to do that, although that would have made this a really different game. The final difficulty setting was triple X for some reason. I don't know what that was about.
Just a bunch of dongs.
Maybe just everyone's around. Naked. I don't know.
And David Duchovny's in
and
it.
David, dude! XXX files.
Welcome, gentlemen. We went all the way around, brought it home. Congratulations. We can wrap right now and everybody be satisfied. Speaking of which, Jesus Christ, is it landing outside?
Is a helicopter going to crash on us?
That is low.
I know.
This is the first episode ever we actually opened the garage door, and that happened. So,
yeah.
Actual helicopter, it's ice, guys.
Dude. They're here for Emilio.
We could have wrapped on that. Now that brought it way down. Now we got to climb our way back up.
So the only other thing I didn't really like about this game is it's really hard to switch between weapons. Usually you can figure it out pretty quick. Like, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. And, you know, shooters got to the point in the mid-2000s where they had so many weapons that you couldn't have, like, 1 through 9 or 1 through 0. So it always made it a little awkward. This one, I just use the mouse scroll wheel, which makes you go through an animation when you're switching weapons. And if you land on the wrong gun, you have to let the animation play out before you can switch to another one. So that was really annoying, but, you know, easily correctable, I guess, if you want to go into the configuration of the game. But overall, this game, like, you could play it now and still enjoy this game. It's good that time. Good.
Nice.
Yeah. And we did talk about maybe about a month or two ago, they're in the process of remaking this game. Game totally ends on a cliffhanger, too. Like, it's set up for a sequel. Of course, that never happened, but definitely due for a remake or, I don't know, a remaster even would be good.
Bobby, I like your retro corner that you do, and I'm all for it. Let's not lead with it from now on.
This game transcends its
welcome to the podcast in history. Back in 2001 there was a scrappy little developer.
And this was Ubisoft, man. This wasn't
this is probably one of them that helped put him on the map, right?
All right, stop it.
Whatever. No, it looks dope.
Whatever, dude. After this, we got what? Rayman Legends, dude? That was like also like 10
years. It's really good, man. Shut up.
Rayman Legends, which you misspelt earlier today. But.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I was convinced. Bobby, I want you to play the audio from this if we're going to go right into it.
Yeah.
This is 2 minutes long. I'm sorry. All right, check this out. So it's kind of like a running simulator right now, and you're just kind of timing your jumps.
Was it Black Betty?
Yeah. And all the bad characters are like, they're in the song. This was so much fun that Mila and I aced it in the first run and played it again just for the fun. Like, when's the last time you did that? We were laughing and giggling throughout the whole thing. Like, this is such a well-crafted, because a lot of times you'll be playing these on-rail segments, mm-hmm. and it doesn't feel like you're part of it. And this one, like, the timing was exactly right with every single thing that you do, every single jump, every little smack of every bad guy. It was awesome. Let me talk about the game a little bit. This thing was always rated 10 out of 10 on Steam, but it never went on sale. It was always $30. And I was like, I'm not going to pay $30 for a platformer. And then finally, fucking, like Ray said, 10 years later, it went on sale. I ended up picking it up for like $10 or something like that. And the other thing I really hated about it is I think Bobby had it, but it had that second party Ubisoft thing where you can't do the family share. And so I was like, fuck you. But it was just, it was one of these like the unicorn that I always wanted, but I didn't want to pay full price. Finally went on sale this last Steam sale. The reason I'm bringing it up is myself, a 40-year-old man, and a 7-year-old girl are having fun playing this together. Good luck finding another game that can do that. Like, I can't think of another one. If I did, I'd be playing it. You can't really die, so her dying doesn't really bother me. And I can easily res her up. Like, all you have to do is touch the other character, and they come back to life. So the difficulty is really... some of the jumping can get crazy, but really it's all about finding all the secret characters, all those little wisps or whatever they are.
No, it's such a fun game, man.
It's really fun. Animation, music. I mean, yeah, it's a 10 out of 10. It's fucking fantastic. I'm not a platformer guy, so like...
It looks like it's a 9 out of 10. Bro.
You know what? Shut the fuck up, man. I've had just about enough. Okay. Anyway, highly recommended, especially if you have kids. And I think you can play up to 4 players at once. So it's just good all the way around. That's why, Bobby, I think you should give the shot with this with your girlfriend.
Yeah, this could be a good one.
Yeah.
And this is...
You can't die.
Game is universally loved, too. Like, this one is just across the board. Everyone likes this game. And there's been other Rayman Legend games.
Yeah.
And they've been well received, but not nearly as much as this.
Yeah, one. I picked up Origins one time, thinking it was my unicorn, and it was not. And so I lost that money.
They used to have a mobile version of this, and I couldn't stop playing it.
Oh, is that the one where you jump?
Yeah, you
right
jump.
Out of time.
Yeah,
Mila has it. She plays it on her tablet.
Dude, it was really so good, it. Man.
Yeah,
it's so good.
Just really well done.
And then I remember I used to wait for the fucking updates because they would add like extra levels, like super hard levels, and I used to play it. There was so much fun.
Nice. There it is.
Rayman
Legends,
game.
Guys.
That's a great game. All right, so is it my turn to pick up some old school fucking game?
Yeah.
All right. I'm talking about
Super Mario 1.
The Lost Levels. It was actually Super Mario 2. And wait, more.
Oh, Bobby, I started watching High Score Girl? Yes.
Yeah.
It is a weird way
worded.
Yeah.
High School Girl?
It's funny.
High Score Girl.
High score girl.
Remember,
high score
girl. He watched it, then she watched it.
I wasn't here. No, that episode was gone. Oh,
well, that was too different.
You gotta watch it.
And you guys tried really hard to like bag on me, but it was pretty bad.
It's an anime show where they talk about Capcom games mostly in the 80s.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all 90s. Like it's a lot of fighting games, but arcade games. Yeah. Again, it goes from like 91 to I think 96, and it covers just like any big game that came out during then.
But that's not the focus. The focus is a cute little story between a boy and a girl. Mm-hmm. But it's played out through video games that you recognize. Yeah. So it's just done really well. And I was like, we watched one episode. I was like, don't play this. Like, you guys aren't into this. And Sam and Mila were like, no, keep playing it. I was like, all right. And then night two, they're like, put it right back on. They enjoyed it. They didn't play these games. So it's just a good thing all the way around.
Yeah. All right, Ray, what you got?
Oh, my turn. I thought we were going straight to the wizard or something.
We could, but I wouldn't do that too.
Let's wait for that.
All right. We're going to start. Okay, dude. So they have this free game right now. Everyone can play. It's free. It's called Red Hot Vengeance. Mm-hmm. It's like a Stickman, but not Stickman. Hotline Miami.
Yeah. Instead of top down, it's isometric. It's a little bit crooked.
And I thought, why does it smell like fart?
I fart.
No?
Usually I do fart. I didn't fart.
Really?
No.
No, it's because like the fan's kind of facing me. You're right there.
Sometimes I get so drunk I can't feel when I fart.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so. No. But I don't think that's what we're doing.
That's not cool. Anyways, the game has some fucking horrible voice acting, right? And like the way they tell the story is pretty fucking shitty.
Yeah, because the one guy who made this game also did all the voice
acting. Did everything, dude. It's so. But honestly, the game is fucking cool. He's a hitman. He gets hired for a job, and first one's really quick. You gotta kill this businessman.
Oh, what's this part? Oh, there's a level designer.
Oh, level editor.
Oh, that's neat. I didn't see that. Yeah. No, I was playing the campaign.
Are you playing on Steam?
Yeah.
So if you do the...
editor and workshop.
You can probably download some better than that one guy came up with.
No, but dude, it's so corny. It's so good. It's one of those where like, and the guy was like,
oh, he did the art too.
Yeah, dude, the art's so bad, but so good. Bros before giraffes. I don't know. It's kind of weird for his.
That's fucking, the name of the developer.
Yeah, but it's so corny where it's like, I think like part of the story is like, and that's how I develop Red Hot Vengeance. And it's just like, dude, it's so bad. But I was like, they used the title there.
And the gameplay is fun.
But the gameplay is super fun, man. It's really basic where it's one gun per hand. You know, you can either have a pistol or an SMG or an assault rifle. Or I haven't seen shotguns yet. I don't know if they're there.
So right click is one, left click is the other.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
And
it looks, for those who can't see this,
it looks like a stick figure game.
I almost want to say that it almost looks like an architect's draft of a room.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's very minimalist, just black and white lines. The only color is red, which is the blood of your enemies. Okay. As you exact red on vengeance.
I thought the game was really neat for a free game. It was entertaining. I thought I was going to be there for like maybe 10 minutes and be like, all right, cool, delete, piece of shit. But I think around the fourth level, I kind of died. And I'm like, oh shit, I died. All right. I fucked up, whatever. Went again. I died again. I'm like, all right, slow down, Ray. You got to slow down. You know, and then I got really into the game. I was having like a lot of fun with it. It was cool.
Is it one of the games where when you die, you can start over instantly?
No, from the beginning.
Of the level?
Yeah.
No, I know, but like from when you die to when you're running again, it's very quick.
Yeah, you die and it's just like, you just...
Yeah, right away.
But yeah, fades to black.
That's what you need.
Yeah, it's really quick and then you're back in.
That's cool, especially for free.
Yeah. It's free a free game. There's not much I can say. The story's really corny, but really funny. It's like your fucking 80s action film with Jean-Claude Van Damme and it's just fucking hilarious. Yeah, for a free game, check it out, honestly. Why not?
Yeah.
And I think the best part, honestly, was shooting through doors.
All the time you spent on this, I wish you were doing your homework.
But I was.
More on that later.
I was.
All right. How about Trover Saves the Universe? I know this is one we've all been waiting for.
Dude. Oh, my gosh. I think it's...
Did you finish it?
No. Because when I was playing it, I had... Because you have to sit down on your chair. I was on my chair because it just felt right.
Okay.
Because in the game, you're sitting on a chair. And that's how it starts. And no, it's just, It's fucking hilarious, man. It's just, I think it's some of the funniest shit I've ever seen in a game ever. I couldn't stop laughing. Obviously, it's just you know, the creator of Rick and Morty just changing up various voices of Rick and Morty. Honestly, yeah. Straight up, just like a lighter version, a deeper version. It's just him. Just, it's fucking funny, man. It's just to the point where it's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it's super fun, and they take advantage of VR. So here's the bad thing about reviewing this game. If I say, oh, you know, the beginning of the game, this happens, I feel like I'm spoiling it for you.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. It's because it's that hilarious.
Yeah. That's how a lot of their games have been.
Because I feel like, you know, this game, even though this game does feel like it's going to be like a good 6-7 hours, but it's just, the story is hilarious. Dude, the voice acting is fucking hilarious. The graphics look amazing. And you're pretty much playing... You're this dude that has some dogs, and it's fucking awesome. Those little things, they help you do shit.
Yeah, your eyes, left and right, red and blue eye.
And so these dogs, it's this big chicken dude from another dimension, from another planet, ends up grabbing these dogs and puts them in his eyeballs.
Okay.
And then this guy,
one does.
Yeah. And then he starts fucking up, you know, the whole fucking town or whatever.
Okay.
So then everyone's like, yeah, let's blame this stupid fuck over here that had the dogs, you know. And everyone, like, hates this dude. This dude shows up to the house, and he's like, hey, you fucking retard. Your dogs are causing all this shit. It's your fault, you know. And he's just making fun of you. And then he's like, we got to get your dogs back. Let's go. And the game just starts, and you're controlling that little purple dude.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Dude, it's because you can't explain this game. It's just so... Some dude tells you, let's go find dogs, and you just go find your dogs. It's like John Wick.
Okay, got it. Now I'm on board.
But you got two dogs. And the way you play this game is you teleport from one little beam to another beam, and then when you're in that beam, you're pretty much like in a chair. Everyone's like, did you ever watch WALL-E? How everyone's in those chairs, and they're all a bunch of lazy guys that just kind of float?
Yeah.
So everyone's in these chairs, and that's how they move around. Like, your first interaction is with a neighbor. And this one, it's the first fucking 5 minutes of the game. I think it's fucking hilarious. You come out, and then you're jumping from little teleporter to teleporter. Each teleporter, you're playing with your controller. And you're looking around, and you're doing... it's just, dude, this game's so fucking crazy. And you come to your neighbor, and your neighbor's like, oh my god, it's you, the dude that's with the stupid fucking dogs. I'm gonna call the cops or whatever. And then you, like, kind of threaten him a little bit. You hit him with, like, a stick a couple times, and then he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. Then, like... I was just like, what happens if I keep hitting them with a stick? I kept hitting them with a stick, and if I fucking killed them, and the game just changed, and it was hilarious. Like, every joke was just about, like, dude, you're a fucking homicidal maniac now, and it's just added to everything, and it's like, why are you still standing here? Get the fuck out of here. You're a fucking murderer. Dude, we shouldn't be here. It's just so
funny. Did you regret killing them?
No, it was fucking hilarious, dude. It was so funny. He wanted you to teleport faster. It's just the guys interacting with you the whole time. All the characters in the game are interacting with you, and they're fucking hilarious, dude. Very simple platformer game. I was just sitting in my chair, just fucking twirling in my chair in my room. That's all I was doing.
See? How come you didn't beat it? How come you didn't finish?
Because I was late.
To work?
Yeah. No, not late to work, but it was, like, really late. I checked the clock, and it was, like, super late, and I was all right, I'll play tomorrow. But then the next day, it was just kind of like, there's so many more games I also want to try, you know, I'll come back to this one, because this one, I feel like I'll do it in one sitting, but...
When you're done with these, their other stuff is really good, too. One of them being free.
I have... Which one? The accounting one?
Accounting, yeah.
I saw it.
Yeah, it's good.
It's like $15, and then I think because there's accounting plus
is $15.
Yeah,
yeah.
It was like $3 in the Steam sale, and I fucking missed it.
Yep, that's why you should buy everything always.
Oh, yeah, I know, right? See, told you, I should have just bought it. No, dude, this game's super unique. I want to talk about it more, but you really have to play it. It's just I feel it's like the best VR game I've ever played.
Nice.
It's so
well, have you played the Rick and Morty game?
It's so funny, yeah. Yeah, it's super funny.
Yeah, it's good.
But this is just way more... It's just... The game starts and you're just laughing your ass
imagine
off.
They're learning from every game that they make.
Mm-hmm. It's just so good. You're just you're some random alien dude with a fucking lightsaber fucking shit up, and you're controlling him.
Bobby, did you watch that video that I sent you?
Which one?
Where... what's his name? What's the guy that makes this?
Justin Roiland.
Yeah, he was responding to, reacting to memes about Rick and Morty, including like incestuous ones. Have you?
Did
you
oh no, I didn't watch that.
Oh, you're an asshole, dude. It's really good. You should check it out.
I'm sure it is. Everything that guy does is pretty funny.
But this is just wrong. It's just so wrong. It's so right. It seems like that guy fucking blackmails you from the very beginning. And this is like the second level, and it's just so funny. He's blackmailing your ass because he wants you to help him fuck up some neighbor.
Right? I don't think you can explain this
game. It's because you can't explain it.
Yeah, it's just good.
It's so good.
It's just really, really good.
It's so good. It's the comedy's good because it's a basic platformer, but it's good.
I did a spit take, man.
Yeah, you did. That's pretty cool. Well, not really, but...
All right. What other VR games did you check out?
I'm telling... Pavlov. Okay, it's pretty much Counter-Strike in VR, but a little bit more realistic.
More realistic than Counter-Strike?
Oh, yeah, right?
No, is it?
Huh?
It's more realistic than Counter-Strike?
Well, yeah.
Because it feels...
Because you're in VR.
Yeah, but I mean, does aiming feels really nice? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Does it work?
It works fucking great.
Wow.
I'm holding my shit like this, and as I'm going, it's just... And I'm like... Let's say I was in one of the levels, I was playing Dust 2.
Yeah.
And I was actually just kind of peeking. And in one of the peaks, it was just like... Burk! Some guy just knew it was going to headshot me.
Damn.
And... But it's... You didn't teleport in this one. It's that you actually move up and down. You actually
What's going
just,
on, Bobby?
What?
Sniper just always accidentally activates the French keyboard somehow and starts typing work.
God damn it, sacre bleu. Sacre bleu. Sorry.
So
straight Counter-Strike, like bomb site,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but this is like, you know, in order you're shooting, you have to make sure you're holding it, because if you just start shooting like with one controller,
right,
your gun starts like.
So question,
yeah,
would it help you to like carry a little stick so that everything's lined up?
Yeah, it actually would.
Yeah,
I actually, the moment I played this, it's called Pavlov because you're a bitch. We're going. I'm joking, but it's just, it's really cool, man. It's I don't know. It's better. I lost my train of thought right now because I was responding to Raconius right now.
You got in your head, man.
You got in my head, you son of a...
Is it better than Counter-Strike?
No, it's not. Of course not. What the fuck, dude? It's funny, though, because when I was playing, you know, I joined a room. It was like 6 versus 6, just straight up deathmatch. And team deathmatch. And these guys were like... Because I
was looking at chat, dude.
I know, dude. I'm like, I can't talk right now. Fucking... Ah. Anyways, I was in there, and I was telling these guys how it was my first time ever playing this, and this guy's like, dude, you're going to love it. Let me teach you the basics. When you're running, hold the controller downwards, and you'll start running.
Okay.
You know, like, you run way faster. When you pick it back up, you slow down. Make sure the moment you kill someone, press to drop the clip, grab a clip right away, put it in, and then you pull the charging hammer, boom, and then you can shoot. So you have to, like... Because at first, I kind of, like, was fucking up. Because I was like, how the fuck do I...
And yeah, yeah.
Then I was doing nothing. Finally, this guy...
That's cool for him to show you.
Yeah, and I loved it. And I was just like, dude, this is so cool. And then this guy was just like, welcome to our world, bro. This is like the Matrix. And you will never like any game the same again. And blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, dude, it's cool, but calm the fuck down, you know?
Yeah.
But I played another map, and it was just like... Holy shit, like, I was sweating. I was just, like, hiding behind walls. And I was like, all right, let's go. And I'm like, you know, we, like, would go out together. You know, we, like, I'd let go of the gun, grab my fucking, you know, flash, throw it out, and wait for it to... And then we'd go out and just kill people that were flashed. It was super neat, dude. I was really feeling this.
Really fucking awesome, dude.
It was. The only part that's weird is just, it's one of those games where you don't teleport, so you know...
How do you move forward?
With the joystick.
So you're holding a controller.
So, well, when you're holding it, you just press up.
Okay, so it's not weird? It doesn't feel weird?
It feels like you're just, like, flying, you know, a little bit.
Okay.
But then you kind of get used to it, because, like, you'll run. You'll like, I'll have the gun down, and I'll press it so I can start running fast. And then when I feel like someone's there, then I let go of that, and then I walk, you know, like, and then I'm kind of, like... Looking around, and damn, I want to go play right now, dude.
That sounds fucking dope.
It's cool, dude. For like a, and I got it for $5 on the Steam sale.
Dang.
It was really neat, dude.
It was only $10 right now.
Yeah.
Not on sale.
That's it's not an expensive game. It's still early access, but for what it is, dude, it's really neat. I know someone was telling me that there's another there's another game kind of like... God damn it.
Yeah, don't read it.
I can't.
They're all writing out Bethesda like phonetically. Try Battle the...
Wow.
Battles the...
They got to.
If this is your first episode, we're working through some...
I normally explain shit better, but these guys are fucking with me. And oh, man. Okay. Anyways. The game's awesome, dude.
Okay, cool.
Can you guys talk, and then I'll come back to the other game?
All right. All right. Let me talk about this game real quick here.
Thank you, Bobby.
I'll calm things down. Calm things down with a game called Influent.
Oh, fuck my life.
So this isn't really a game. This is actually...
Oh, even better.
Okay, so Influent is a language learning game focused on vocabulary acquisition and pronunciation that gives players the freedom to choose the words they want to learn without the need for pencils or books.
I should play this fucking game, dude.
So,
yeah. Oh, for English. Can you set it to English?
Battle Desta. Yes,
they do have an English pack. So what you do is you buy this game for like $10 and you get to pick what language you want to learn. Then after that, you can buy languages as like DLC, I suppose. When this game was on sale during the Steam sale, it was like $1.50 for each language. I think normally they're $10. I've got them on sale before. I think I originally got this with like a Humble Bundle thing or something. So I have French and I have Russian. The only problem with this, if you're trying to learn another language, this is really just for vocabulary. It doesn't have any way for you to speak into a microphone and it to test you on your pronunciation, really. It's really just listening and understanding. The cool part about this, the thing that I think makes it better than, like, say, Rosetta Stone, is you're walking around in an interactive environment here. Let me pull up this video. So you actually play a character, and you're walking around a house, and you click on something, and then you see the word for that in the language you've picked. You hear it, and then you can add, like, 10 things to a list, and then, like, make a game out of this, and then it'll just randomly, like, pick words at random, and you've got to run around the house, find that, and click on it. So you have to identify it.
Like a memory game.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that sounds really easy, like, 10 items. But the thing is, once you start learning 10, 20, there's like, I think, a total of 250 words in this. Then, you know, it picks any of those. Then you really have to remember, what is this? And then it also associates different descriptions, like adjectives and also verbs with certain things as well. So you start learning that too. So
can you learn? It's tough.
You can't,
dude,
learn an entire language.
Yeah,
like you can learn vocabulary. It's really good for vocabulary, and it's really good on just like hearing and seeing how a word looks. But, you know, to learn any language, I think you have to immerse yourself in an environment that uses just that.
It seems like it would be really good for somebody that's brushing up on a language that they know the basis of, mm-hmm, or somebody that at least knows the basic sentence structure and the way that...
Well, it's a component in learning another language. It's not like an end-all, be-all solution for this. And I don't think Rosetta Stone is either, because I've done a lot of Rosetta Stone before to little avail. But this is... It's probably the best for vocabulary, just because you're actually walking around in this environment and you're just like, okay, my eyes can see the toilet that I'm clicking on and interacting with. And so when I hear the word and see that word, like, it just makes that connection. It's like way better than flashcards. But yeah, I mean, if you really want to learn another language, take classes and go to that country.
Speaking of which, going to Spain next month. Pretty excited about that.
Nice.
Yeah, but
and there's a difference between Spanish and the Spanish they speak in Spain, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit, but not much.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, yeah, because like
over they spill Castellano.
It's Castellano.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of different.
You know how that started? There was a prince that had a lisp, much like you.
Okay,
my cool lispy prince.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody wanted to be like the prince. So the ruling elite started to speak like him, and then the peasants started to speak like them.
Really?
Yeah. They just wanted... Yep. that's how it went down.
Okay,
dude, that's how most accents start. Like, like, what are these? One charismatic dude.
In 10 years, we'll all be calling it Bethesda.
Yeah, that'll be its name. Bethesda by the Lispy Prince. Oh man, there it is. Episode title.
Yeah. So I mean, this is good. If you can get this game on sale, I definitely recommend it. If you're interested in learning another language, but I wouldn't pay full price for it. They have a lot of languages too, and it is like, I tried the Russian one, way more difficult because of the different alphabet and just you know, you can't.
Or the Asian ones, I would imagine.
Yeah, the Asian ones, I'm sure, are very, very difficult. But yeah, a ton of languages here. Hindi, you can buy all of them for a reduced price. Yeah, so yeah, worth checking out.
Yeah.
All right. How was Superland? I'm excited to hear about this.
So it's very interesting because the reviews are super good, and then you get to, and the graphics, we talked about that, how it looks like when you're playing Toy Story, and then you start playing it and it feels like somebody's what do you call it when you're going to graduate college, like their end thesis at game development school or whatever, like somebody threw this together,
like their final project.
Yeah, their final project. The mechanics are super simple, just like jump, pick things up, and sometimes you can make those purple things appear. That's pretty much it. And so don't look for anything original in that aspect. Mechanically, it is super basic as you can get after a platformer, maybe. But that doesn't stop it from having crazy amounts of charm, and the level design is excellent. I remember a long time ago I read a description of why Zelda was the best game ever made back then, and a lot of it has to do with things being hidden in plain sight. Like, you can see what you want, like, I want that thing, but you don't know how to get to it. So then you got to start messing around with things and trying to get to that thing that you want. But sometimes you can't get to that thing that you want because you're missing something. And so stupid games will make you think, oh, I'll just keep trying and eventually I'll get it. But this game does a really good job of telling you, like, they'll even put a guy right there. He's like, listen, you can't get that thing without triple jump. And you'll be like, oh, okay. Glad you told me, homeboy. Now I won't waste half an hour trying to get it. So it does. It's a really good mix of showing you what you want to get, not showing you how to get it, but not wasting your time with bullshit jumping 50 times trying to get something when you can't do it, actually. Super cute. The graphics do wear off right away. Like, when I first played it, the first 5 minutes, I was like, whoa, this is the coolest shit ever. That all disappears. It really just becomes kind of like a Metroidvania-ish kind of adventure game.
There was an article lately that they were like, stop calling games Metroidvanias.
Yeah, well, they can fuck off. Because if you can't access an area because you don't have the thing from the other area, that's a Metroidvania, pretty much. That's the way I'll say it. First-person Zelda is how I would say this, too. I liked it. I like it a lot. My only downside, and this isn't something against the game, is the first sitting, I played like 4 hours. I was like in the zone. I'm like, I'm digging this. And I'm kind of not wanting to go back, only because I'm going to be like, all those things that I was compartmentalizing different places in my brain, like, I need this for this and this and this, I'm going to forget all that shit. Like, I'm going to go back and I've forgotten everything that I need and where the things that I need.
That's the bad thing about this kind of game.
Yeah, that's the bad thing about these kind of games. So, no fault of the game itself, but I'm an alcoholic, so.
How long is this game?
I don't know. But no, if Metroidvania, but actually the article went into what it should be called. And when I read it, I was like, oh, that makes sense. Like, holy shit, it's 12 and a half hours?
Jesus Christ. Wow.
Damn, I didn't expect that. Completionist is 22 and a half.
Wow. Damn. I didn't expect that at all.
It's as long as Rage, dude.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to finish this. Probably not. That's a lot of hours.
Dang.
It's cute. I can't say anything bad about it, really. I mean, besides the no new mechanics, at least I haven't run into it. It's very, very simple, but it looks nice. You're gonna have a good time. It's a well-crafted world. Not a lot of combat. There you go.
Castle Royd. That kind of sounds like something like Amelia would have in his pants.
Hey.
All right, Pummel Party.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, Ray play. And I played it very briefly. Very. I think it was 15 minutes. It's a Mario
fucked
Party.
It's a fucked up Mario Party.
It's a Mario Party for adults. We played it for 15 minutes. We didn't read any instructions. There wasn't any instructions.
No, just before the minigame.
Yeah, just before the minigame. Kind of like how Mario Party does it now. Yeah, see? Yeah, there's some terrible things in this game. Bear traps that cut you in half, stuff like that. It actually plays exactly like Mario Party. Mm-hmm. But there's a few, like, they tweaked a few things that we didn't understand, just kind of like how the money system works and stuff like that.
Or like the pieces where you land on. Like
we didn't know what they all do
until we landed on them, and then like, oh, you know, we lost coins or we died, you know.
Yeah, or lost a leg.
Yeah,
stuff like that. It's dope, man.
The mini games are very adult themed.
Like, yeah,
the shotgun.
This is not something you want to play with your kids. And it's a little slow.
No, it's just as fast as it's actually faster than Mario Party because it doesn't have all those fucking animations and shit you have to deal with.
It didn't feel right to me.
Why not?
I don't know.
Because you were expecting Mario Party, maybe?
I don't know. Did you have a good time? I was having a good time.
I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
I thought the minigames were really cool, actually.
Maybe I was missing the Mario polish, you know, the Nintendo polish on it.
But the Nintendo polish is just animations.
Yeah. This had no
animations. It did not. It's your turn. And then it's your turn.
And it'll be better with four players. We have it. Now we have something to play when we have four of us all together.
Yeah, since we do that all the fucking time.
All the time. If you guys knew how much fun we have over here at the DLG Super Warehouse. Get out of the ball pit, Ray. We have a podcast to do.
Seriously. It's so crazy over here. Oh, my God.
Hey, you're making drinks, dude. I'm not going to make another round.
Then I'm done drinking.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Well, $15 for this game. Not too expensive.
No. It's worth checking out.
Very good reviews.
I'm like buzzed, dude.
All right. Next up, Strafe Millennium Edition.
It's that game I own that I didn't know I owned.
Yeah. I've been playing out of Ray's account.
Cool.
Bobby, do I have the game for you? first of all, I like it very much. But this feels... It's a take Doom 2... Put a little bit of roguelike mechanics in it, and that's what you're looking at. The graphics are throwbacks. It looks like Doom 2 quality. I can't stress enough how good this game feels to play. Everything, like, controls are super tight. You hit that D, you move just as much.
Mm. Mm. How hard do you hit that D?
I don't know how to explain that, but the controls are perfect. And you're running through a super fast-paced Doom level, trying to get as much money as you can so you can upgrade your weapons, stuff like that. I don't know if there's permanent upgrades, so I don't know if it's roguelike or roguelite yet. I've played 3 hours and I still don't know because I'm having so much fun blowing these little monsters apart. I mean, it's a great fucking game. I'm really, really enjoying it. A lot of times at the end of the night when I'm trying to wind down, or there's a lot of times where I'm like, I just feel like shooting shit, and this is going to be my just load up and shooting shit game. It feels great. I'm going to see how far I can get every single time. I'm not quite sure if the levels are at least somewhat randomized. I think, they have similar pieces to it, kind of like DRG. But I don't know what more to say about it. It's a Doom 2 roguelike. Like, fucking, if that sounds cool to you, which it is, go get it. It was $15. I picked it up for 10, I think.
No,
I saw it on sale for 10.
Yeah, you put it off my account
during the Steam
sale. Stop lying. You buying?
No, I was gonna buy it, and then it said your buddy over here. Yelled it.
Nice. All right, Ray, you ready to talk about The Cycle?
No, I'm not ready, but I'll do it. The Cycle, dude. It's a free game right now. It's I think it's alpha testing, I believe, over at Epic Store. And it is a PvP PvE battle royale. That was kind of neat.
At the same time?
At the same time.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's the only reason why I tried it. Because, you know, every battle royale comes out. And you're like, ugh, whatever, I don't give a fuck anymore. And I just heard about the PvE aspect. And I was like, all right, cool. But then I was like, oh, it's on the... Because someone posted it on Discord. And then they're like, oh, it's on the Epic Store. I saw the graphics and I was like, fuck, it better not be.
This looks sweet.
I was thinking it would be like a Fortnite PvE type thing. But it wasn't. It totally wasn't. It is... It gives you quests at the beginning. You land into this, you land on this planet, and
100 players?
No, 20.
Okay.
20. Yeah, the map's not that, it's big enough, but it's not that big. 20 players land, and here's the thing, if you play solo, you can just, anyone can be your team member. So like I would land, I would see someone afar and just be like, I would press T and be like, "Hey, you want to be my buddy or you want to kill me?" And it, whatever the guy wants to do, you can do. So it's kind of cool. So you can start solo and end up being like, you know, dual.
What if he doesn't answer you right away and then shoot you?
Oh, then you're fucked. You're dead. Okay. It gives you quests as in you need to do... They're not really quests per se. It's resources. So they have, you know, minerals. You throw down a machine that starts collecting minerals. As you're collecting the minerals, monsters come out to try to destroy the machine that's collecting the minerals. So you have to start killing them. As whenever you put up one of those machines on the radar, the drilling symbol comes up as someone's collecting items. So if someone's close by, they can see that someone's collecting items over there. So you can go attack them if you have the resources yet to attack them. Or you can just, you know, keep doing your shit till you can.
Well, why do you need resources to kill people?
So whenever
bullets?
So you start off with a pistol.
Okay.
You start off with a basic pistol. And when you collect a certain amount of resources, you bring up the buy menu, and you can make a SMG drop down, a sniper drop down, a shotgun drop down, whatever weapon you've crafted drop down. All the weapons that you have in this game, you craft them. So whenever you're collecting all these resources, or whenever you win the rounds, at the end of the round, it'll tell you which resources you actually collected. And from all the resources you collected, you go into the menu, and then let's say you kind of have like a crafting bench, and you create these weapons there. And then once they're activated there, then you can bring them down in the game.
This is what, you know what this reminds me of is in Realm Royale, when you're using the
Realm Royale
smelter or whatever.
Yeah,
you're making Forge. Those things. And then the smoke goes up, and it lets everybody know that somebody's kinda working on that shit.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess, yeah, I totally see that.
Which
so,
was one of my favorite parts of that game,
that, by the way. Well, I love that game because I felt like World of Warcraft type you know, feel to it. So I thought that was kind of
neat. They screwed the pooch on that. It was so good.
And it could have been
just,
so good,
they
man.
They just ruined it.
Yeah. But they added SMGs. It's just and assault rifles to that game. Anyways, so I don't know. The game's really neat. I thought I didn't get bored. I just stopped playing because I got invited to play some CSGO. But I thought it was neat for what it is. You know, it's just...
all what's the price on this?
It's free right now. It's in alpha testing.
It is worth checking out.
Yeah,
I'm down.
It's totally worth checking out, man. It's Epic Store. And then you also collect mushrooms, which is kind of like the biggest thing. You collect all these mushrooms. The more mushrooms you have, the more spores you kind of have in your bag, which attracts more enemies also towards you. So, and then you have to grab those mushrooms and put them in deposits, and then that also gives you money to buy, you know, either the stims to heal up or buy more weapons. It's just, I always got fucked up. Like, these guys that were, like messing with me, they were like, I don't know, I thought I was getting my shots in, and I barely moved I probably took down their health or their shield. But then all these weapons, as they get upgraded, they have more power. Some weapons have way more power. Like, my pistols had, like, 30, and then my SMG had, like, 25, you know, like, damage or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, the enemies were neat. They were cute. You know, some are bigger than others, you know. And then, depending on these mineral deposits, some mineral deposits are way bigger than other ones. And they'll take longer to actually grab everything from them. But if it's a harder one, that means there's bigger enemies that come towards you. So it takes way more damage to take them down. And to be honest, I think those enemies actually got hard. By yourself, when there's like five guys attacking you, it kind of gets a little hard. But
it's an interesting concept for a game.
It was different, man. It was a very unique battle royale.
So this is by Jaeger Entertainment. They're the guys who did Spec Ops: The Line. What else did they do? Dreadnought.
All right.
Yeah, and Spec Ops Align, German company, if I remember correctly.
I think it's worth. It's right now you can only play single or squad or just squad up. I thought the whole element of just grabbing someone randomly was kind of cool.
Yeah, just form alliances as
you
go.
Yeah, I thought that was really neat. But then one of the dudes actually, like, he was with me the whole time, and then he just kind of went his own way. And then, I don't know, I'm guessing there might be a time limit. I'm not really sure if like, the guy shooting at you. I mean, I don't know how long it takes before your team member, the part of your team, can kill you. That I'm not sure.
So they can break away from your
team. Yeah, they can break away from the team. So I don't know if it's, like, after that, it's just, like, you know, like, if you have to wait 5 minutes and then he can attack you, or, you know, at the moment you're not teamed anymore. Oh, is it 10 seconds? 10-second limit before? So yeah, 10 seconds. And when they unfriend you, then he can attack you.
Oh, you're still talking about this. All
right. Yeah. Games, dude. Hey, can I get a drink, dude?
No, you're
so they do have supporter packs here. Scout pack edition, $10. 30, 60 bucks.
Yeah, it's that kind of is a little pay to win in a way. Well, no, it's pay to get in advance over everyone else.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I feel because they give you exclusive weapons. Yeah. Because it's not just emotes, you know, or just skins, but they give you like.
Yeah, I wonder how this is doing on Twitch. You know, that's usually the metric they use when. Battle Royale games come out, you know, how well they do on Twitch gives you an idea of how popular the game is.
I thought, let's see, so this game, I believe it came out this weekend, so just wait till the developer actually hits up these streamers. Then
yeah, we'll
see
what's the open play test started, yeah. So they're still in kind of a preliminary phase.
Yeah, they might wait a little bit. This might just be like, you know, let everyone else play it and, you know, break it for us, and then once we get it, like, broken enough and fixed enough, shit, now let's give it to streamers so it doesn't look that bad on these streams. Because this is alpha.
So. Yeah, you don't want people messing with a broken product in front of like 50,000.
Exactly.
Viewers.
You don't want to see Shred on this just crashing every minute. You just don't.
Damn. All right. Do we want to talk about the wizard, or do you want to talk about Faster Than Light?
What's Faster Than Light? Oh, already?
Yeah, FTL.
No, talk about the wizard.
All right, the wizard. Oh, boy. So this was the movie that was decided that I was going to watch this week. This is from 1989, and I had never seen this before. First time seeing it, I was aware of it. A lot of people know that Christian Slater and Fred Savage is in it, and it is mostly known for not being a very good movie and pretty much just being an 90-minute advertisement for Nintendo. After watching it, I gotta say, yeah, I can see that. I can see why people would assume that. The story is not that great. It's about a young boy who does not want to talk, does not want to participate in the world. People think he's got some sort of mental issue. All he says is California, and he wants to run away to California. His brother, Fred Savage, takes him and runs away to California with him. They pick up a girl along the way and eventually go to a video game tournament. Later in the movie, you find out that the reason he wanted to go to California was because his sister, who died, he had a memory of being out there with her. The story's not good. It's pretty bad, and you don't really blame the movie for pausing in awkward spots to focus on these Nintendo games. That part was nostalgic for me. Like, they would stop and show, okay, here's the Ninja Turtle game, the first one, or, you know, they'd show Ninja Gaiden. I don't know. Like, I didn't hate this movie as much as I thought I would, but I certainly didn't enjoy it.
I did watch this movie. After watching all these clips you're showing right now, I did watch this movie. Yeah,
I think a lot of people have seen this movie, but may not remember it. Yeah, because it came out in 89. So the big thing about this movie was that it was showing off two things. The Power Glove, which I think had come out before this, and also...
Oh, you never saw this.
Spoilers, Bobby.
I want to do it. Yeah, yeah.
Super Mario 3.
Super Mario Bros. 3. That is the big game that they unveil at the end in the video game tournament. And what's so funny about this is when they go to the video game tournament and it shows these finalists playing.
Wait, can I cut you off, Bobby? Because I have talked about this one scene
you
for
did.
Years.
You cut him off.
When he goes a new game. Mm-hmm. And the girl says, a new game? That's not fair. And that was the first time where I was like, it's a new game for everybody, bitch. Like, what the fuck? I was like 10.
Oh,
like,
man.
Yeah, I was so mad. I was like, she's so... It evens the playing field. You're so wrong.
Yeah, but if you go into a tournament training for something and then they throw a curveball at you, I could see where.
But that's for everybody.
But no one's ever played it,
Bobby.
Yeah, but what if you go
take our side on this, Bobby?
Okay, ESL Cologne. All right. Okay, let's mix it up, guys. New game. We're all playing Pavlov. Okay,
that'd be dope.
It would be dope.
Yeah,
it'd be awesome for us to watch. It'd be shitty for the people competing.
Yeah. So let me pull up the final scene here and you can see a little bit of it. But what I was saying was there's a huge disconnect when they're announcing the guy's kind of commentating on what's going on with the game. And then they cut to the actual game and it's like the slowest gameplay right there. Like, boop. Okay, stop. Walk over here a little bit because they're playing Mario Bros. 3. So it's kind of like, oh, got it. It's like they're not, I don't know. We're used to seeing professional.
Didn't know.
Yeah, they don't know what, maybe in 1989 people were like, oh, cool. I mean, it is a new game and nobody has seen it.
Does he find the whistle? I mean, the flute?
Yeah.
Yeah, just by...
Randomly?
Because he's good at video games. Yeah.
I found it with a book.
Yeah, of course.
Like an actual book like this thick that they used to sell.
So weighed more than the game and the system together.
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of plot holes in this, whatever. Like, I'm not the type of person to nitpick a lot of things like that. But just generally, the story wasn't that compelling. Some random things that happened that I thought were funny. Bo Bridges and Christian Slater are the brother and father of this kid, and they're tailing him to Los Angeles, trying to find them and bring him back. And you know, they get in all these mishaps along the way. And there's one part where the tires are slashed by a kid bounty hunter. There's a bounty hunter that hunts children specifically in this, and. He goes to get new tires, and they're like, all we got is white wall tires. And he's like, oh, man, white wall tires. All right, fine. And then the next scene is some tires that are very obviously painted
white
on the side. I was like, okay, that's weird. A lot of little nitpicks, yeah. But I mean, overall, who really cares? It was kind of cool to see the old Nintendo games.
But he finds that flute. Okay, see, that flute, I can give it to you. That one you might be able to find if you're running.
What's the difference?
Oh, because the other flute, the first flute you find...
You have to hold down. Yeah,
that one's super fucking random.
Fred Savage finds that one, right, Bobby?
No, Fred Savage is not the gamer in this. Fred Savage is just...
It's the little kid.
Yeah, it's the little kid who just says California the whole movie. This whole thing is actually... kind of like Rain Man with children. It's like, you know, and Fred Savage is definitely playing
Rain Man with children.
That's why that kid shows no emotion, right?
Yeah. He's like the Dustin Hoffman character. Yeah. And Fred Savage, who is.
So which one has AIDS?
That's not Rain Man.
No?
What movie? Are you thinking of Philadelphia?
Oh, shit. Wrong game. Wrong movie.
No, that was Make It Rain.
Wrong movie.
There was a young Tobey Maguire in this
really?
Movie.
Really? Rain Man wasn't the AIDS one?
No.
Oh, man.
Rain Man was about Tom Cruise finding out that he had an older brother who was autistic and super smart, and he brings him out to L.A. to live with them.
Vegas, right?
Well, never they go to mind. Vegas, and they make a bunch of money.
Never mind.
But, yeah, Tobey Maguire in The Wizard here. Let's see a young Tobey Maguire. No speaking part. He's just in the background. Okay, here it is. I'll give you a little volume here. They're at Universal Studios, which also gets a pretty big plug in this movie. And the like bad guy, the antagonist, is Lucas. That's the kid bounty hunter there, being hassled by Frankenstein. Yeah, he's a bounty hunter that hunts kids. He doesn't look very tough. come on, where is he at?
So it's just one long plug fest.
Yeah, pretty much. And that's what everyone says going into this. All right, here we go. So this is the bad guy, Lucas. You know, he's really good at video games, and he's going to win the tournament. There's Tobey Maguire right there in the back. Look at that mullet, man. Rocking that mullet with that 80s wave. I'm pretty sure I had that haircut, too.
Good for him, man.
Yeah, no speaking line. So the line that everybody always pulls from this movie is...
Sorry, Bobby, did you pick that out on your own, or did you do some research on this movie?
Oh, no, I noticed that right away. Oh, really? But afterwards, I did look up a lot of, like, interviews and behind-the-scenes stuff, and it was mentioned quite a bit. But, yeah, you, there's no mistaking him. Even at that age, you're like, holy shit, that's Tobey Maguire. Like, yeah. There's no missing it.
I mean, if you could see through that resolution, geez.
Yeah, the, what we're showing here is not very good, but I'm sure you can find it on YouTube. Okay, yeah, so this scene right 480p, here.
480p, way better.
This is the scene that everybody always rags on here. This is when they first reveal the power glove. They pull it out of a case. It's like this aha moment, and the kid plays a game with it and just shocks everyone with his skill at using this power glove, and then he turns to them with the most serious look you could imagine, and this is his line right here. Hold on.
Now that's what I call pod racing.
It's even better.
It's a...
I love the power glove. It's so bad.
All right, you probably couldn't hear that, but he says, I love the power glove. Holds it. Dramatic. It's so bad. This guy's making the hardest eye contact I've ever seen. See, like,
don't forget
look
the Asian.
At all these chickens.
The Asian flute after that, too, to add some power to it.
Oh, my. Yeah. So, I mean, this movie's goofy, but it was kind of enjoyable to watch. It is kind of just a long advertisement for Nintendo. According to like some of the stuff I read about it, like Nintendo, of course, is going to weigh in on this. So when you're making a movie like this and you're using all these products, especially ones that haven't been revealed, like you got to work closely with the people who own them and make sure that they're happy with how it's being portrayed. But Nintendo apparently didn't have a whole lot of input except for when it came to the actual video of when it was shown. Like, they didn't really care that much about what the character said about it or what happened in the rest of the movie. There is a part where the girl is constantly on the line calling a hotline. You remember those hotlines you could call? Yeah, yeah, the tip hotline. That brought me back. You remember those?
Fuck.
Nintendo Power
was the magazine.
Power, yeah. Fuck.
So it's probably like...
I thought it was Nintendo Game Players, but I didn't see Nintendo... Hotline 90s.
There was a Nintendo hotline. There was.
Nintendo Gameplay. Yeah. Nintendo Gameplay. Yeah. Nintendo Power Line.
Yeah.
That's the
there it is.
Of. Okay.
Yeah.
I remember that.
But, I mean, would it give you a tip?
It was like $5 or something, like the first minute.
It was expensive,
and then, like,
yeah.
It was super expensive.
But I'm saying, like, I don't think you could pick the tip. I think it would give you, like, just a random one. Like some you already heard, maybe.
I think there was one like that where, yeah, it would just give you random tips.
Yep. But anyway. God, what a moneymaker that was
back in the day, dude.
Damn it. Yeah. Let me see. How much did, let's see, The Wizard, Wikipedia. I think this movie did not do well. I don't think it made its money. Let's see.
14.3 million.
Budget was 6 million. Oh, box office 14.3.
Look at that bank.
Boom.
It did all right.
Yeah.
Not bad.
I was one of those $1 or whatever.
You were one of those tickets, whatever a ticket cost back then. Yeah, dang. Yeah, you saw that in the theater. The first movie I ever saw in a theater was in 89, I believe. It was the first Batman.
That's crazy that you remember these things.
I might have been brought to a theater before, but that was the first time I ever remember actually, like, watching a movie.
I saw Batman 2, the drive-through. I remember that. I remember seeing Terminator, Ninja Turtles, Ghostbusters. I remember seeing...
Ghostbusters, the first one in...
No, Ghostbusters 2.
The first one I remember was about these three kids that build a spaceship and go up into the stratosphere.
Rocketeer.
I saw out that of, like, junkyard parts.
Yeah. I forget what it's called.
I forget what it's called. That's the first movie I remember seeing.
Hmm.
And then the second one, or maybe, I don't know, E.T. I was crying so much, and I didn't want to cry in front of my dad. I kept going to the bathroom to cry. I went like 4 or 5 times.
My dad was...
This old man came up to me, and he's like, are you okay? And
I'm like, ah! That's awesome. No, my dad would take me to the movies a lot. Well, not a lot. It was really weird. My dad worked so much that whenever he had those weekends off, it was almost like that, like, if... We were divorced.
Guaranteed to go to the movies.
It was kind of like if, like, my parents were divorced, yeah. And it was my dad's weekend, and he would take me out, and it was just me and him, and just like, hey, son, what game do you want, or what toy do you want, and this movies, and then we'll go to McDonald's afterwards, you know, the whole, like, you know, divorced dad thing.
Yeah.
It was just like that. But then we both go home and he'd be like, "What's up, mom?" And everything's cool.
And then have sex with her.
Yeah. And then my brother came out of nowhere. And then what the fuck? No, but like it was really weird. So my dad
took half my shit.
It took half my shit. But no, it's so awkward because my dad just worked so fucking much.
Yeah.
I never saw him, so I was always with my mom, all the time. So whenever my dad was like, "Holy fuck, I have a day off." He just grabbed me and just take me out.
So you went to a lot of movies.
Yeah. So because he didn't know what the fuck to do.
It's always an easy thing to do. Just take him to the movies.
Take him to the movies, Toys R Us right afterwards, and then fucking. And
better
then,
than talking about feelings.
Yeah. Damn shit. Better talking about, that shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. So the movie for next week, I've already decided here. Going to be Double Dragon from 1994.
Oh, shit.
You can watch this movie for free on Tubi.
Oh, my God.
T-U-B-I. Oh, yeah. It's going to be bad.
Oh,
it's going to be so bad.
I remember this movie.
I've never seen it. I was obsessed with Double Dragon as a kid. That was one of my favorite games.
Did you end up finishing the new Double Dragon remake?
Mm-hmm. Neon? Oh, yeah.
Who'd you finish it with?
I think I played that by myself. Dude, when I played with you, that wasn't my first time playing that. I'd played through the entire game solo.
So you were my first bitch.
I am totally ready for this. Double Dragon 1994, same year as Street Fighter, both the anime and the live action. Like a lot of I like video game movies from this time period, from the 90s. I don't know what's up with the chick in the middle. Who's she? I don't know. We'll find out.
That's Winona Ryder.
Winona Ryder?
No, that's the girl from Alyssa Milano.
Alyssa Milano. Sorry. Yeah, Alyssa Milano.
That is Alyssa Milano. What the hell? Oh, all right. It's going to be a good one next week.
God, I have such a crush on her. Fuck.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if you guys are familiar with some of these sites, but you can watch a lot of movies for free on Tubi, Vudu, and Sony Crackle. If you just type in movie, like the name of the movie and where to watch, it'll just show you, okay, you can watch this, you know, with an HBO subscription or whatever. And like a lot of these old movies that aren't that great, but are fun to still watch, like a lot of them are just freely available out there.
Fun to still watch.
Yeah. Well, Double Dragon, man. I got high hopes for this one.
So I've been wanting to watch Spirited Away because I'm sick of it getting referenced and me not understanding what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And
the horse one?
What?
I don't think there's
the horse one?
No, dude, that's Spirit.
I'm so off.
That's
right?
Spirit.
Fuck. The horse with AIDS?
No. Wow. Spirited Away is like one of the best anime movies ever made.
I'm so off.
They never digitized it, to my knowledge. It's only on DVDs or whatever. So
they don't have a Blu-ray of that?
I don't know. Apparently, they're really against
it. How can you never digitalize it? You have to burn it.
That's what I
the original trilogy was the same way. They didn't have that on Blu-ray for like the longest time, and then it was only like special edition. And Disney's always been very protective about a lot of their stuff. But yeah, you'd be surprised. Like a lot of stuff doesn't make it to Blu-ray.
I actually just heard, totally random, but I think in L.A., in some random theater, they let people watch Star Wars, the original, like straight up, like without any of the editing that George Lucas did.
Right.
Like the original
film?
Yeah. Original, straight up 1970s, how the first people saw it.
Right.
For day one.
Yeah.
That they showed that the other day.
Okay.
And they just let a couple fans, they picked a handful of fans from some sort of club or something. I don't know. I heard about it in a.
Wow. There's so many versions of Star Wars.
That movie sucks, by the way.
No, but this is the original cut. None of the editing, none of the Ewoks with eyes, or this is like dude. Han. This is Han Shaw first. You know,
A New Hope sucks.
Dude, A New Hope's still pretty good.
I can't do it.
It's like the special
it.
Effects.
The last time I watched it, I was like, I'm done.
Really?
Never again.
Nah, New Hope's still not.
You'd rather watch it like
there's three scenes, and then it's over. It's I don't know.
I mean, being in that Star Wars Galaxy's Edge at Disneyland, it really made me want to watch a lot of Star Wars stuff.
I really wanted
to watch a lot of the prequels. And the older I get and the more time passes, I actually appreciate the prequels more.
There's
a lot of bad stuff in it, but I feel like we're throwing the baby out with the bathwater. There's a lot of good stuff.
The prequels.
Yeah, speaking of bathwater, did you hear about that Twitch streamer that sold their bathwater?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's so gross. Some people got herpes. Anyways, continue.
Gross. But I mean, think about it. Prequels, John Williams got some great songs in there.
Yeah.
A lot of good lightsaber duels. Yeah. General Grievous, Darth Maul. Yeah. Like, a lot of really good stuff in the prequels. Like, some great stuff.
I've always
stuff.
Defended the... From day one, I defended them.
No, see, so, like, I hated the prequels, right? Because, like, the first time you watch... I was young. I was young when I watched the first one, like, episode one.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, fuck, this shit kind of sucked. And then as you watch the second one, it was like, even worse. Because you lost hope. And then when it got to episode four, you get that new hope. Anyways, and then the third one was just like, okay, this is cool. I think just because we
saw one was the best one.
Because we saw Darth Vader. We actually, and then like, we kind of just felt it more, and we saw how like, so that's why maybe a little bit better. But then when you really just go back and just be like, damn, dude, like, they're not bad. They weren't bad.
Sam and I tried watching Phantom Menace 3 times. She can't get through Phantom Menace. And this is somebody that, like, she's down for sci-fi. She loves Stranger Things.
Jar Jar Binks is still...
There's some tough parts, and it does seem to drag along. But there's a lot of, like, fan edits out there, and I've never watched any of them, but I've kind of been curious about them recently.
0.5
the,
or whatever. 1.5,
well,
I mean.
Well, no, people have, like, taken the movies and just edited them on their own, taken parts out and re-edited things, maybe, like, changed a few things about it. But one of the more popular ones was actually Topher Grace. You know that trailer he made just a little while ago? But he's also made an 85-minute version of, I think, all the prequels. So he's taken all the prequels, cut it down to 85 minutes. I'd be interested in seeing that one. There's also another one called the Anti-Cheese fan edit that's really popular. And that, again, is the prequels, but with... what a lot of people didn't like taken out of it. But that used to be on YouTube. Of course, Disney took that down, but it's still out there if you can find it.
There's one where they just take out Jar Jar Binks completely.
Yeah, that was the first one. The tough thing about that is, like, you need it eventually. You need Jar Jar in episode 3, otherwise it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Right? Anyway. Let's talk about some video games.
Yeah. All right. Faster Than Light, FTL. Ray, how did that go?
Ray.
Sorry, Darcy. Okay. All right. All right. I'll put it this way. I think FTL...
How much time did you put in? Be honest.
Both gameplays probably...
Two games? You played 2 games?
Yeah. Each one lasted from an hour to half of 2 hours.
You're such a liar, dude.
I'm not lying.
All right.
This is the reason why I hate this game.
Okay.
I think because... I'm not lying. Shit.
Super upset.
Why?
Because, like, this is a game about playing it hundreds of times. That's when it gets good. You know?
Because here's the thing. Every time I got to the fourth one, every time you fast travel to, like, the next little solar system or whatever the fuck
fourth
it's
jump,
called.
Let's say.
Yeah, the fourth jump. And I'd always died. Here's the exit, and I could have went straight to the exit to the next one, but I was like, let me try to get everything I can before I get to there.
Oh, yeah, you don't do that.
No, that's what I thought you do, because, like, that's how I got more shit. I was so fucking powerful, dude. I thought I was, like, I don't know. I did all my engines.
So the fleet following you caught up to you? Is that what happened?
No, they never did.
Oh, okay.
No. Both times, I died because I guess I just suck at... when people board my ship, that's the hardest part for me. I was able.
Just got to choke them out with the oxygen.
Yeah, that's another thing.
I never thought about that.
Yep.
That's like a huge part of the game.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, dude. You turn
the oxygen off and lock the doors.
I didn't think about that.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought about that. This is what we're talking about. Man. I would have now. I can play and do that.
It's not like that's going to be the one thing.
No, no. So here's the thing.
This game is filled with things like
No. So here's the thing. It's not like I didn't like it. I loved it. Mm. I loved it. It's just I don't know. It's just fucking hard.
It's very hard. Thanks, Chuck Justice with the Twitch sub.
It's just
dude. It's a game about losing. It's what, like, most roguelikes are.
Mm-hmm. And usually you know right away, and then not right away, but you lose a decisive battle, and, like, you could keep going and maybe straggle off for a little bit, but you just quit.
I couldn't keep playing. Like, I played one, and then I was just like, fuck this, I'm so mad because I built up so much shit and I had so much of the upgrades, and then everything just went to shit. And I'm like, fuck, I'm not playing this game anymore. And then I tried again. And then, again, same thing. Everything was great. And then I just died at the end. And I was like,
But you get better, dude.
I know I get better, but I just got mad. I got so mad. I got super mad.
What'd you think of the little, like...
No, so I did 2.1.
Choose hours. A or choose B questions.
That was just a roll of the dice.
Because if you choose A, it might be the right one that time. But next time you play the same scenario, A might be the wrong question.
I noticed that. Yes. That's why I thought it was just a roll of the dice. That's why whenever those came up, I just went, whatever.
But every once in a while, you get a rare one. And that rare one...
Where the blue comes out, right?
I don't remember. And that'll lead you to a new ship. With new aliens on it.
No, I thought it was like really whenever cool. The blue came out, that was like...
Oh, maybe. Could be.
That was like something different. But,
Did they ever have DLC for this game?
Yeah. There is a new mode or something at the very end. I mean, at the very end. Like, when I was playing my first game,
So you'll never play it again?
I will.
No, you won't.
No.
Can you recommend it even though you're not going to play it again?
Here's the thing, dude. I would play this shit mobile like crazy.
Yeah, I don't know why they don't play the game.
I would have this. This would be my go-to game.
I'm pretty sure it is on mobile. It's got to be. I told you I saw some guy at the gym with that on an Android device.
It's just when I played it, my two playthroughs were so good. I really, really, really liked it to the point, like, if I didn't like it, losing at the end, I would have been like, whatever.
But you were so emotionally
involved. Overly
emotionally involved.
Like, my first run, I had, like, 6 people on my ship. And it was just easy. It was just, I don't know, like, because everyone's manning everything. And then, I always upgraded the engine first because I thought that it helped out a lot. Like, they would miss more shots. And then I was also upgrading.
There's no right answer, because
I figured that out.
Because they're rolling dice against you too, so they might attack your engine, they might attack your cap. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you never know.
Yeah, but then when I had more people, I was able to fix stuff way, 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 way faster.
You want
to
be well-rounded.
I got so mad. Well, like, everything was very even. You know, everything was very, very, very even, and like, I was destroying ships like nothing. You know, whenever a ship came up. Done like nothing every time. And when I lost, I didn't know how I lost. To be honest, the first time I lost, I'm really not sure.
That's frustrating.
I really like, because I know like something was on fire and then I put it out, but then like there was like, and then the oxygen was one of the things I never really figured out. Was it open all the doors and then that helps bring in more oxygen to everything else, or close them all?
That'll put out the fires.
You open a door on the side here and then that sucks the oxygen out, and then you can...
No, I know that, but it's just one... So like, I ended up dying like... The first time I died, let's say I shot at the other ship once. Yep. He shot at me. The second shot I did at him, he was down. He was gone. And I'm like, yay, dope. And then I had a crack... In the ship, and I sent everyone to go fix it, and it wasn't enough to fix it, and everyone just died.
It's been so long, man. Maybe
you need so resources. I don't know. So you can
train one person as an engineer, and they get better at that.
So then I started reading that, and like supposedly it's better to fight out. If you fight a ship, that's easier to let it out. That way, keep playing it and let it do more attacks, even though it's gonna miss at you.
Yeah.
And that way your engineers and your pilots and everything level up more because it's actually fighting more.
Okay.
Then
you died.
Huh?
But then you died.
Yeah, I died. And I died twice. And both times hurt as much. There was actually one of, like, my main pilot was Mike. And that guy put out fires like a motherfucker. That guy fucked up some weird green alien with like mantis type shit. Mike was the shit. And there was this one instance where I just came up to this fucking spaceship, and then it said he boarded that spaceship or whatever.
Yeah.
They fucking took Mike, and he fucking died. And I got fucking sad, dude. And then I had to put fucking whatever James or whatever to pilot the shit.
I can't.
And everything went downhill after that.
I'm watching this. And I want to play it so bad.
I'm telling you, dude. It's a really fun. I thought it was neat to where, and like. not like the Tall Tale game where like I actually really had it on one screen and the other screen, like, it was just running there and I wasn't really like I was like right. Clicking opening.
You were actually trying
opening. I actually had, you know, I'm looking at my right and I was looking at some stuff on the internet and then playing the scene at the same time because sometimes I would pause it and look at something real quick and then go back. But I was really invested in the game. Yeah. I was, you know, and I really would have kept playing it, but I got so mad at dying, dude. It just fucked me up. I was like, dude, I need to start again? Like,
especially when you have a $1,000 index sitting right there. The biggest problem with FTL is the Valve index.
No. Actually, it wasn't that, dude. It was just the point that it took me... I played an hour something, and everything went to shit. Everything I was like... I was cracking my head, dude. I was just like, all right. Yeah. Which, because, like, I would beat it, and I'd be like, all right, cool. What the fuck do I want to upgrade? This or this? And then I was like, shit. And I was like, fuck it, game guide. All right, fucking.
But no. Now that you know you can suffocate them bitches.
Yeah, now I kind of think, like, oh, shit, that would totally help.
Yeah, that would totally help.
I still don't know how to fix the fucking, like, see right there? And that little red where that other screen?
Yeah.
Like,
well, right there.
Yeah, bottom left. Of the spaceship, there's a crack, and it's all getting red because there's no more oxygen. I didn't know how to fix that, and that's what fucked me up the first time. So I was like, and I had people fixing it. I don't know
why. This is why you keep playing, man. It's awesome.
I would have kept playing it, but then again, I have a fucking $1,000 fucking index.
I don't think we explained the segment to anybody. Every episode, we give 3 hours of one game to somebody that they wouldn't normally play. So Ray usually likes special edition high graphics games, and so we'd like to give him really low res but very good games. We're not trying to troll each other here. It's just
I just thought this something was
not in your wheelhouse.
I thought this was a random you're gonna give me again, especially when you guys introduced it to me for the first time, and then I was just like, oh yeah, for sure. And I actually played it, like, I played it the first time and I sucked at it. You
get it the first time.
But then I played it a second time, and that second time I actually went for like a good run. Well, like, you know, two jumps or something.
Yeah.
But this
by the way, the whole game is only 5 jumps, so you almost made it.
No, it's not. It's way more jumps.
Oh, I don't know.
No, it's like 10 jumps or 11 jumps. Okay. It's a shitload.
I don't remember.
And you can keep you can kind of keep zigzagging through them. And then I didn't understand things like, because there's no instructions to anything. There's a tutorial at the beginning that kind of tells you how to run your ship. But then everything else is just, like, I noticed when you were jumping, it would say civilian or it would say rockoid or something.
Because they own that area.
So what does that mean? Does it matter? So
if you're, whoever you're flying as, usually you'll be like humans. Sometimes you'll be cool with them. And so you can fly through their space. But if you're like another kind of alien that doesn't jive with those people, you don't want to go there. Unless you're looking for a fight and you want to level up your guys. It's like a faction thing.
But what faction am I?
The starting ship, I think you're just a human.
Yeah.
I think you're just humans. But like I said, dude.
I think I read until you get to the fifth one. That's when you can actually unlock a ship.
The best part for me was like unlocking all these ships, dude. There's like an all AI one, right?
I tried twice and I couldn't unlock a ship, dude. And I got fucking frustrated.
Hundreds of times. That's when it gets good. Anyway.
Oh, so good.
So I'm up, right? Did you guys think about what's up?
No, but we got a good suggestion here in Twitch chat, Punch Club. I really like that game.
I mean, it's a simulation. I hate simulations.
Punch Club, really?
Yeah, I'll check it out.
Punch Club. Guys,
Bobby loved it.
Yeah. Or should we go further with the horror games?
No, I don't think so.
I think we should go further with the horror games.
I don't know. We did a horror game last time.
All right.
I already know I'm going to hate this, but all right. Oh. Yeah, whatever.
I have it on my account, so you can play it off of there. I don't think you have this game, right?
No,
I think I have it too.
How about fuck no?
Nah. What was the other game that they made? The Graveyard Keeper or something?
Yeah,
that one was. I haven't played that one yet. I've been interested in. Yeah, she actually liked it, but she didn't play it that much. I assume it's kind of the same thing. But I really got into Punch Club.
All right,
Punch Club it is.
God damn it!
All right, let's talk about a little news here.
That sucks, dude.
I already finished Aria in the Blind Forest. Thanks for listening, Wakonius.
All right, first up, Netflix to adapt Cuphead into an animated comedy series.
Fuck that game.
Ha! I'm the only one on the DLG that beat that game, and it's a feather in my cap. I will bring it up every time. Beat that shit. Beat it.
Technically, Mini did, too.
Well,
did he?
Pretty sure he did. Yeah, okay. He played these.
Okay, so I get mad when I can't beat shit. So when I got to, actually really far in, because like I was like, oh, this boss was easy. That boss was easy. Oh, that was easy. And then when I got to one boss where I lost like three times, I was like, fuck this game. I'm done.
That's what happened with FTL.
I know. I hate losing the games.
And I will say, you are naturally pretty good at games. Like, and I've been impressed by your skills.
But this game, fucking...
But that comes with the downside, I guess.
I get mad.
If you're not good right away...
I get frustrated.
You get frustrated.
I put it away. Yeah. But then, I don't know, like a lot of games, I get frustrated and then I keep going at it because I want to fucking beat it.
Right.
But Cuphead just wasn't that game that had me so like, I need to fucking
beat it. But it did look sweet.
It does look fucking awesome. One of the sweetest
looking games.
I've wanted this game because I saw this in E3 like 10 years ago, right? Because I think they announced it like 15 years ago, maybe 20 years ago. Back in the Super Nintendo, they announced Cuphead for the Xbox. And it just never came out until finally like 2 years ago, I guess. Or a year ago.
Well, based on the article, it sounds like it's going to be made mostly for kids. I'm sure adults will find it interesting as well.
This is an adult game, though. Straight up.
It's like, yeah, but if you look at the internet, I don't know. Like my nephews in middle school loved this game. I mean, they weren't very good at it, but they kids that age were all about it. Like them and all their friends.
I'm
going to
go back and beat this game.
No, you're not.
Yeah, yeah. Watch me.
But yeah, I don't know. I think it's a great fit for a TV show. I mean,
yeah,
why not?
We'll see. How do you?
The genie was the one that fucked me up. That was the last one. Yeah, you're in a spaceship. It's a genie in the desert. One. No. That was the last guy that I couldn't beat.
Oh yeah, yeah. That one was easy.
Shut the fuck up.
All right. Next up, Steam's new micro trailers want to help you absorb every game in 6 seconds.
I saw this
now, Bobby.
What is it?
Like, I was shocked that you put this up as the headline. Really, what's going on is something called Steam Labs, mm-hmm. where Steam is trying out different things, and I don't know if it's kind of like a beta thing that you can download.
This is probably going to be part of their new, because based on the screenshots we've seen of Steam's whole UI overhaul,
yeah.
I've seen a lot of this stuff on here. So yeah, the three big things are these things that they call micro trailers. They did this a little bit in the Steam sale as well. You could just hover over an image of a game and it would play a really quick trailer that does a very good job of acquainting you with a game in like 5 seconds.
And I believe AI is putting that together, that clip.
Yeah, probably. I'm sure all this is automated. But the new UI that they're using, I think, uses HTML5, which makes a lot of this more easier to do or possible. The other thing that they're doing is an interactive recommender. I played around a little bit with this, too.
These are live?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. Okay, yeah. This was the big selling point as far as, like, what I was excited about. And also, I read two articles about this, and they were most excited about this part, where they take what you play, your time played on those games from your history, and then show you ads basically based on your viewing habits.
Well, they recommend games to you. And you can adjust these sliders from popular to niche, older to newer. And I used it, and it didn't really, I don't know.
Oh, maybe that's why you
didn't really work too well for me. But then again, my Steam account is probably all messed up from card farming or whatever. So who knows?
Yeah, yeah. Because like what I said, when I went into your profile last week, I was like, what the fuck are these games?
Yeah. But if it's taking games that I played the most, like that I have the most hours in, that should be pretty accurate.
That would make sense, yeah.
But then again, I have a lot of games. What is it going to recommend me? Like, I'm well aware of a lot of the games on Steam and the good ones, too. So I don't know if it really can help me that much. But I see that'd be pretty useful.
Exclude tags if you like completely. So, mm-hmm. like for me, I would take out anime, stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. The third thing that they're doing is called the automatic show. So, this is like.
It's kind of like a daily news show, right?
Yeah. Like a 20 to 25 minute. Ooh, let me get the audio here. So like a 20 to 25 minute show where they just have four displays up in each corner showing you a game, just showing you the different parts of the game. There's probably going to be some audio, some narration going along with these, talking about the game, and it just flips through it. So, I mean, it's almost like doing the work for you. Rather than browsing through Steam on your own, this is just putting everything right in front of your face. All you got to do is sit back and watch.
It's a better version of their system that they have now. What is that called? When they put things on your feed and you click through it,
your queue or something.
Yeah, whatever.
They got
a
name for
your queue. This seems like a better version of that.
Yeah, but it's also just showing you video as well of each of these and explaining a bit. So it's doing the reading for you and it's playing the videos for you, and it's showing, because video games, unlike a lot of other types of media, can be very deceptive.
Yeah.
As a longtime buyer of video games, I'm always looking for gameplay footage or, you know, even on YouTube, like a Let's Play. That gives you a real idea of what you're actually getting as opposed to an E3 trailer. So this, I think, does a much better job of doing that.
Yeah, I'm down for all of it.
The whole 6 second thing?
What they said about Steam Labs is that, I'm not going to answer your question because you've been on your phone this whole time.
I was talking to Sniper.
I don't care. what was I saying? God damn it. Now you threw me off. Now I hate you even more.
Now you know how it feels.
God damn it.
Bethesda. Right. Battle Desta.
What was I talking about, Bobby?
I don't know.
Who knows, man?
God damn it.
All right. We should answer a quick question in Twitch chat here. Chuck Justice is asking about how would someone add themselves to the TwitchCon house effort? There is a channel in our Discord where you can read all about that. Can contact Chi to see what is still available there.
Long as you're not a creeper.
Last time I heard, there's still a trundle available, which is like a cot. So there you go.
Or bring a sleep.
Oh, I remember. So
there might be a room actually becoming available or something, right. Something like that.
Steam is going to introduce this thing called Steam Labs.
Yeah, I saw that.
Basically,
I was fucking around with it, and I saw like a 6 second trailer.
Yeah,
it was just like a clip.
Yeah, we already talked about that.
Stupid.
Whatever. All right, never mind.
That's what I was wondering. What's it about? What's the point?
They're just going to be trying different features for Steam in Steam Labs, and the ones that do well there will be introduced into the new UI.
Oh, Steam. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's kind of like a proving ground.
6 seconds.
Or like a laboratory.
Okay. Yeah. He says he's not looking to stay. Okay. If you're not, you can always support us just on Twitch by donating. I think we got a donation button below us, and that'll make our little bar go up.
And so that would help Cheese so much because she's actually kind of hurting right now.
Yeah, she'll never buy a house because of this thing.
Yeah, that thinker credit.
Got to pee so bad. All right,
thank you.
All right. I mean, all this stuff they're doing on Steam looks cool. I'm sure it'll be part. They're taking feedback, too. So the idea is that they're putting this out there, and they want people to respond in the forums about how they feel with suggestions.
It's just the Steam. Okay, so the Steam, the whole, like, Steam, I guess, what is it, a UI, the whole Steam store, whatever it is in your library. It's so dated, yet it's so right. So if they change it, I feel weird about it. Like, what would they change it? If they could ever change it, right? Well, they are, because we've seen already pictures and stuff about it. But I would feel weird, because we're so used to it. It hasn't changed ever since the history of it.
Yeah, it's always kind of been the same. There's actually a website where you can go and you can see, like, a GIF that they have screenshots of Steam at every stage of development, and you can see how, I mean, the library has always generally been the same.
But it hasn't changed. Like, well, it has.
Well, they never had a storefront.
Yeah, it has. But, I mean, it was never.
But the library and what they show in the library has changed a little bit. There's several ways you can display your library, but most people just have a list of games on the left, and then there's several details listed on the games on the right, like who else plays this game, how many hours have you played this game. Like, all that stuff has been added to Steam. I think, like, the hours played was added in, like, just not that long ago, 2008-ish.
Yeah.
But
I just
the new UI looks really good. It just looks like everything that you care about. The big thing that they said about that was they want to integrate the feed, the activity feed, into the page of the game. So everything's just a little more accessible from one area. That way you don't have to go to the activity feed.
I don't find a reason to change any of it. I just think just keep it the way it is. It's just...
These things that we see right here, I like the look of that. I mean, that gives me a real quick idea of, like, what a game is offering me. right off the bat, rather than going to the Steam page, having to click through a few of, like, you know, the teaser trailer or the dev talk, you know, find the real trailer that's showing me the good stuff, mm-hmm. the actual gameplay.
Like, big picture is awesome, but at the same time, I hate that it's full screen. I'd rather have a windowed big picture. Can you have that? Or maybe I'm off. Maybe you could have that.
I don't think you can.
No, right? So it's just big picture is full screen.
Yeah, because it's made for a controller using on a
So I actually really like how big picture looks. It's just, I wish it was windowed, because when I'm on there, it's not as easy to switch over to Discord or switch over, you know.
Yeah, not if you're using a keyboard and mouse.
I know it's an alt tab away, but not really, you know. It just feels weird.
Yeah, I've accidentally hit that button too many times. Okay, next up, Mortal Kombat. A little bit of news here via Twitter. Mortal Kombat, the movie, is going to be rated R, and it will feature fatalities. So that was a question a lot of people have. Greg Russo addressed it on Twitter, saying, yes, there will be fatalities in Mortal Kombat, and the movie will be rated R, so they can be pretty graphic.
How could you make this movie PG-13?
No, they've done it twice before.
They were PG-13?
They certainly weren't R. The Mortal Kombat movies?
How?
Mortal Kombat
really?
Movie. There's no way. Yeah, because it was right after Mortal Kombat came out. Yeah, PG-13.
I feel like... Wait, no.
They were trying to appeal to teenagers.
Yeah, and now it's
but
just like...
But there was fatality. There was enough fatality.
No. He just saw it.
Yeah, dude, I just watched the first one.
It's not that bad, right?
No.
There's like a frozen dude, and then
it's like shattered to pieces. There's no blood or guts or anything.
There's no bad words whatsoever. I feel like,
dude, the fatalities you see on these modern Mortal Kombat games, like
Jesus,
yeah, man, there's nothing like that. Yeah. There's like people getting kicked and punched, but there's no blood or anything.
There was no blood. That's true. And it's like, I feel like bad words add like the R rating faster.
No, it depends. There's a really good documentary on that. Like, you're allowed one fuck. And it, you can't use it. You can use it as an expletive.
Maybe you, bro, but I fucked twice.
Well, unless you want an R rating, minimum. But you can't say it as a verb. You can say, like, someone can say, oh, fuck, but you can't say, I'm going to fuck her. Like, that's R rating right there.
Automatically, damn.
You don't have to fuck the fucking fuckers. It just...
Yeah. There's a lot of weird things with the way that works. And it's changed a little bit, but the documentary that came out in the early 2000s did a pretty good job of summing up, like, what you're allowed to do, what you're not.
If you think about it,
and
actually, younger kids in their teens say fuck more than adults do.
Yeah, because they're fucking annoying.
Yeah.
Because they, like, I don't know. I don't swear that much, and, like, I get annoyed sometimes when a lot of people do, because I think it's, like, a replacement for... It's like, why can't you communicate to me without using those words? It's like a handicap, I think, a lot of people... I used to have this friend who English was his second language, and his first language, he was from India, and he swore so much, and he used language, like bad language, kind of as a crutch because he didn't really know the language so well. So it was kind of like filling through in there. And I think a lot of people do that.
Out of frustration, too.
So, we actually have.
Fucking word?
So this is really funny. And, it's not funny. It's not funny. Sorry. We have someone on our Discord, and I'm not going to name names. He's a friend of mine. I met this kid playing Counter-Strike CSGO, which, you know, the most toxic fucking game in the world. This guy is from, you know, from Mexico. Straight up Mexico. The only thing he knows about American culture is just what he sees on TV, and that's it. Mm-hmm. So when I'm talking to him, or when, you know, me and Danielson or Nabi are talking to him, you know, we can speak Spanish. He'd be like, hey, what's up? ¿Qué onda? ¿Cómo estás? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. We can talk, and everything's good. And then whenever... let's say we're going to play some PUBG or some Apex or some CSGO, and you know what, come over to the DLG server. And then let's say Dazed or SOCOM or someone comes onto the channel, like, thinking, hey, they're just hanging out on the hangout. And he comes in and he's like, hey, what's up, my N-word? Hey, da da da. And he just starts talking like that. And everyone's like, ooh.
Yeah.
And everyone kind of freaks out.
Yeah.
And they're like, and then they kind of like give him shit. And he's just like, what the fuck? Like, and then the other day I tried talking to him, like explaining this to him. And I was like, all right, the thing is, this guy is what he knows about American culture. And that pop culture is a lot of that rap, a lot of that trap, a lot of that hip hop, a lot of the, you know,
Black people speaking this way, white people speaking this way, Mexican people speaking this way, right. Everyone's kind of speaking this way and using all these slang, all these words, using a lot of the N-word, using a lot of this. So for him, it was just like...
Natural.
Natural.
Or this is how all Americans speak.
So that's how he... And then, but everyone kind of just freaked out. We just kind of... I don't know. That was kind of crazy. Anyway, side note. That was it. I don't know.
No, I like that story.
I don't know. It was just funny trying to explain to everyone on Discord, like, because there was like five people on the channel. I was like, guys, chill out.
You could have fixed the whole thing by just saying he was black.
Yeah, I know, right? He's actually black, Mexican black dude.
See, I don't
It's okay. It's okay.
No. What was that movie? Michael Cera, Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Oh, like, great game.
Yeah.
Or, fucking favorite
movie. I say game because it's so game-like.
Yeah, yeah.
One of my favorite movies of all time.
Absolutely great movie. But what I love about that movie, other than like some of the greatest transitions you ever seen in movies, like that's so good, the way they cut from scene to scene. But he always adds "and stuff" when he's talking. I'm like, that's just kids. And that's kind of how I feel about profanity a lot of times. It's just filler. It's like nonsensical things that people just throw in there. Maybe they're trying to sound cool, especially kids. But it's like, you know, like it's like this fucking shit and stuff. Like, what does that even mean, dude? That means zero, nothing. Like what you said is nothing.
I do that sometimes.
Bobby, have you cursed in front of the kids?
No, it's been a long time since I've done that.
So you have?
It's just so weird, dude.
I just said, have you ever? And you said, no, it's been a long time
since. The last time I did that was probably like 10 years ago. And it was when
I was just getting started.
I wasn't even in the position I am now. I was working the before and after school program. And it wasn't, it was completely harmless. It was like damn or hell or something like that. Yeah. But like I used to, when I did that, I worked in the, like below the eight. So I worked in the ghetto schools. And those kids, like... conversations that I would have with them were probably way worse than any profanity. Like a lot of like racial stuff. Cause most of these kids are like black or Hispanic or something like that. And so like they, they would
like
do backs
stuff.
they would say things and like, I would just not know how to respond to it.
There's no way do back. Is it the name? What was I going to say? Okay. Now that we're in the shit, so somebody was talking shit about Sam because she's not a good mother because she curses in front of Mila. This is this other girl's perspective, right? Mm-hmm. And we curse in front of Mila all the time. But we tell her that they're big people words. And that seems to work way better than the other approach than saying that these words don't exist.
Well,
and then,
my friend Drew, same way.
Same way, and it works, right?
And it works great. Yeah. Like in front of his kids, like fuck shit.
Yeah, yeah.
I
cocaine.
Yeah. But then
He takes it too far.
He takes it way. Yeah. He does take it away way too far. Drew just goes. But his kids are super like, fuck no, we can't say these words.
Yeah, yeah.
And because it's always these are daddy words. These are adult words. Yeah. You don't touch them.
As opposed to these words don't exist unless dad stubs his toe, and then it's a power word. Now I know this power word, and I'm going to go say this power word.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on.
All right, last bit of news here. Google announces new streaming support for YouTube and Amazon Prime Video.
Yeah, they were fighting for a while. They wouldn't support each other's products, and they're the two biggest names in the game. So this is big news only because, like, I can now stream Avatar The Last Airbender on my Google, what is it called? Their Chromecast. And vice versa. So now you can get Amazon Prime Video on a Chromecast, or you can put
the YouTube app,
or the Chromecast stuff, and put it on your Fire. I believe that's what this means,
which is fine,
which is good.
Stop being a bitch.
Yeah,
there was. Did they used to be able to do this, and then they stopped for a while?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, I thought so.
I believe the first stone that was thrown was Amazon just said, we're not going to carry Google products anymore. But now all of that
stuff. Which made sense.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of which, anybody buy anything from Prime Day?
Yeah.
Send in the listener questions. Well, we should answer that when we get there. Which we're on
I was going to throw one little bit of news, and it's just kind of like my last hope. If not, I'm going to delete the channel on the podcast. I mean, on the DLG Discord. So... Division 2, they're going to open up to matchmaking for the raids. So the times I tried to kind of start something, we got 4 people, 5 people max, maybe. We couldn't do any of the raids. The DOG clan was just
passed away. And
mostly because of you.
Oh, really? Me? Really? Mister, I bought the game and went to like, and you just stopped playing too?
Yeah, I never said it was my favorite game of all time.
Fuck. Anyways.
Lawyered!
Matchmaking. It's coming to Division 2. I saw the article. And can we give it a shot, guys? I still haven't fucking played the fucking raid. I love this game. I have at least a good solid four people that are always down. I just need a little bit more people just to come on with me and play. Right. Let's do it. I don't know. I want to. The game is great. It's a great game. It was a great. It's fun. I don't know why.
It's one of the best looter shooters.
It is. Yeah. It really is. And let's play the shit out of it before Borderlands comes out, and then everyone stops fucking playing it. Anything, at all.
Yeah. And the other little bit of news that you told me, Streets of Rogue went 1.0. Mm-hmm. That's big news in the DLG. We've been talking about that game for years. Bobby and I played it to completion. At the time, we got to the last level, which was downtown, I believe. And now...
Well, if you think about it, it's huge news. It's a big game. It's a very popular...
It's a big, small game.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a small game that went big. It's a great game. Man, this there's so many things that can happen in this game. I've always been a huge fan. Don't be tricked by the graphics. A lot of times with roguelikes, when you see shit, the shittier the graphics... means the more shit that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
except for FTL.
I love this. I love this.
No, I'm joking.
Game.
Everything other than FTL is ridiculous. Yeah. I love this. There's a crack in my fucking
shit. What combo
shit.
Were we doing? The soldier and medic? Soldier and doctor?
Yeah, the doctor and the soldier. So...
it's a strong one.
Yeah, because the soldier's just so strong anyway. His biggest weakness is he can run out of ammo, like on level 4, because he just has so much different... weaponry. And then for those that can't really be attacked outright, I would go the medic and I could just euthanize them. Or no, what's that thing? The thing you put over
them. Chloroform.
Chloroform them. And they just fall asleep. Ninja's really strong.
It takes like 5 minutes to chloroform someone.
Not in this game. It's instant. Nice. There's a lot of different characters though. You can be anywhere from a comedian to a zombie. And they all have these little perks, and it's fucking awesome. Let me just tell you, sit really quick. We're having so much fun.
We're having so much.
I think they're probably poking fun at that. But if you're a comedian, you walk up to a crowd of this like people in the world, and you tell them a joke. And like a percentage of them, you know, it's a die roll on every single one of them. And two of them will hate you and want to attack you because they hated the joke. Two of them were like, just like, whatever, that sucked, bro, and walk away. And like two of them might just love you so much that they become your thralls, and then you can control them from then on. And so they're like your fan base. And you try to grow your fan base, but then so many people hate your jokes that it ends up that your fans are fighting the people that you're haters. Mm-hmm. And then you really don't get anything done. But it's a really funny... like class days. What other class has a comedian? It's never been done, especially not this well. You can be a werewolf. You can be a gorilla. You can be like, you can pick the gorilla super strong, can't speak to humans. What's that mean? You can't sell anything because you can't use any of the vendors, but you're super strong. Like it just goes on and on and on. Now it looks like there's a firefighter. I've never seen the firefighter, so that's new to me.
They had a class you could make. Right.
Yeah, there's a class builder where you could take these perks and use them. The thief is really good. There's a hacker. I'm trying to just go off the head or like what else there is. It's a fucking great game. And now I can't wait to play it now that it's 1.1 or 1.0.
1.0.
Is it two or four?
Bucks.
Is it two or four player?
I think you can play up to four players.
Yeah, four players.
But this game was cool. I remember I played enough and it was really fun. Well, not actually, no. Probably played like an hour of it, but that whole hour I played was really cool. But it was just so, I felt it was so incomplete at the same time.
Yeah, especially if you played early.
Yeah.
There wasn't much to it.
All right, time for listener questions. Here first one comes from Matthew Pashby. Just found the podcast a couple days ago, and I've already listened to probably 10 of the backlog episodes. Love it. Do any of you guys play tabletop games by chance, or is that too nerdy for everyone here? Thanks for the great show.
So I started listening to a podcast called Adventure Time, I think it's called. And it's just like a family playing D&D. And I was like, oh, my God, I want to play D&D so bad. So I asked Ray, I asked Bobby, and, you know, everybody's like, yeah, sounds cool. It's just like getting something like that together. Mm-hmm. You need a lot of free time. And in my world, I really can't. Like, my eyes were bigger than my mouth on that one. I just don't have time.
If you kind of think about it, because I was thinking about this the other day, and I always say I don't have time. But those days that I don't have time, I'm just with my girlfriend.
Yeah, I mean, that's quality time, right?
Yeah. But that's... We just went to a
movie. Get rid of her. I'll get rid of mine. And we'll play D&D all day.
I'm saying, like, we could totally grab a Friday night, a Saturday night. Like, Bobby, you can come over if you want to play some D&D.
He's never...
Ever
see that head nod?
D&D, like, no. Are we talking about? Because when I hear, like, this, I'm thinking tabletop simulator.
I've never played Dungeons and Dragons. No, yeah. Like, straight up, let's just do it.
But Dungeons and Dragons is tough because that's a long game, and that's not just like, hey, let's meet up and let's hang out for like 4 or 5 hours. It's like, you got to do that consecutively.
It's like you and guys playing Divinity, but just we'll do it.
Yeah,
without, like,
2 hours
without,
a week.
Without the Divinity,
2 to 3 hours a week.
Yeah, that's all it is.
One sitting,
2 to 3. I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
2 to 3 hours a week. Well, I don't know if that's enough for like a proper D&D campaign. Like,
I think that's how they go. I don't know.
Yeah.
But there's websites.
I saw Stranger Things. They play like 10
they
minutes.
They make it look so cool. But here's the thing.
I'll make the wayfare.
Bobby, if you haven't noticed, me and Ray are fighting as fuck. You're going to have a good time, man.
Yeah, I'll probably be drunk. Your girlfriend can hang out with Alana and Sammy.
Maybe we could. Well, we talked about at the TwitchCon house, it wouldn't be really enough time.
No.
Everyone's going to be doing other stuff.
No, D&D's too much. No, if anything were TwitchCon house, it'd have to be just like Switch and some
VR. D&D isn't even really tabletop, is it? Would you consider that a tabletop game?
Yeah. Right,
because the real hardcore people, they play with like the
they got the little board out.
Yeah, little board out, and then they're like moving through it with little.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm sure you could do it.
But you could do that virtually online.
No, yeah, or tabletop simulator.
You don't need that.
We used to play tabletop simulator, like all of us.
There's a free website that does it better than tabletop simulator, and you could just, it has everything. I played it with Zap.
I think this is a point where when you're listening to the podcast in your car, you're going to be like, fuck.
It's like,
table pop,
I don't want to keep listening, but I have another hour of my time.
All right. Well, if you do want to jump into that, I can recommend the Diplo server. They have a pretty active community over there and a whole section for tabletop games. Mm-hmm. I know they recently had a bunch of events that they were doing, and one of them was Settlers of Catan, which I learned how to play for the first time when we had our last DLG game night, and that was a lot of fun. I would definitely love to play that again, but yeah, finding the time when you can meet up with other people is always difficult with adults.
Yes.
Next question from Shadowmaster. DLG, or, God. What's the best game to play for my 550 video card I just picked up?
Half-Life 2.
This goes with your other question. It's the same answer for me. You said, how do I get good with keyboard and mouse? And what are you going to play on a 560? It's Half-Life 2.
AMD RX 5500. So 55. Oh, you can play a lot of games with that, man.
Yeah, you can play a lot.
Yeah, but, this is a good budget card. It's definitely not like a high power card, but it's great value.
You went AMD
performance.
Huh? You went AMD. Oh shit.
Yeah, AMD is usually pretty good value.
He's pretty good at finding good deals. He got really good. He built this thing cheap, and it's not a bad system.
I know. I think use like a cardboard box.
Half-Life 2 all day, dude. All day. One, you haven't played it because it wasn't on consoles.
You've never played Half-Life 2? I'm asking.
This is his first PC, dude. Oh, he had his mom's laptop. So that's going to get your controls right. You're going to learn how to play.
It was $79.
It's a good game.
Oh, actually, the RX, is that what's on MacBooks right now? MacBook Pro is for like $300. What are the frames? What frames is it giving you at 1080p? For any game.
He's probably not on 1080p.
He has to be on 1080p. That's the only way to game.
Do they sell anything less than 1080p not,
no,
these
that's
days?
Bullshit. No, there's nothing less than 1080p. There's no such thing.
What if you only had $300 to build?
Nothing rate? Exists under 1080p, dude. Stop making up shit. Counter-Strike 100. Holy shit. You get 107 FPS in Counter-Strike. Fuck.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
You can play Half-Life 2.
It's a good card.
You can play Half-Life 2.
Yeah.
No, actually, yeah, you can play Half-Life 2. You can play Dota. You can play... what else?
I'm not saying that's...
Call of Juarez. You can play everything Bobby plays, you can play. Every typing simulator.
Gunslinger, man. Highly recommend it.
Duolingo. Fucking... Everything Bobby plays, you can play.
Everything Bobby's recommended in the last 4 months is well in your wheelhouse.
I mean, it would probably be a shorter list of what can't you play. All right. A lot of hardware questions this week.
Every next game up, on the Wizard you can play.
Tree Stone asks, Raspberry Pi 4 just came out with nice specs, dual 4K capabilities, and 4 gigabytes RAM. Anyone going to build a Stadia station? So, yeah, the Raspberry Pi 4 starts at $35, but, you know, it gets expensive as you add things. I have been curious about it because I've never messed with one of those, but, like, it would just be a project. It wouldn't – I would have no real use for it.
I bet if you presented that to your school, like, hey, can we get all the kids a Raspberry Pi and we're going to build on that? No.
They're going to figure that shit out. No. You need something that's so idiot-proof that anybody
can use
it. You're
going to show it to them how to use it.
You're going to show,
the
like, the
thousand. The falling apart on the screen. I just saw that fall off the
Oh, yeah. I don't know if I said it at the top of the show, but we're getting rid of all of this.
Well, sprinklers are going as well. But no, there was a time before they did the whole netbook thing and then later Chromebooks, there was a time where they considered using Linux in the school district. And, oh, man, that would have been a bad idea.
Yeah.
That's not what I'm saying, Bobby.
I'm saying your specific class, the kids you deal with, you do this little Raspberry Pi thing.
Can you edit videos on a Raspberry Pi?
No.
Would you want to?
Yeah, probably not.
No, man. No.
All right.
Those don't run Final Cut Pro.
I think Raspberry Pi would just, for me, I've always seen it as just modding or just
little. I like these fireworks on this website.
I know, right?
There's zero reason for them.
Look at that torch.
Like fire straight out of Doom.
Look at that.
Yeah, Raspberry Pis can be really good if you're just trying to build something that just does one thing.
Yeah.
They can be great for that, but I would have no use.
Like
for
I've
it.
Always wanted to make, like the dual arcade stick modded, like build it, like, you know, buy the buttons from, I forgot the brand, the arcade buttons that are just like the best brand, and the joysticks that are like the best brand.
Yeah,
there's a name to them.
Yep,
like, you know, people either like the ones that are like more like the concave ones or the ones that are. Someone that plays fighters knows what I'm talking about, right? There's two types of buttons that everyone always buys.
I think we have a listener question about that a little later.
There's two types of joysticks that everyone likes, and you use those. You build the box. You put your Raspberry Pi. You have a fucking Neo Geo. You got Street Fighter on there. You have, like, an HDMI cable.
You're talking about a MAME cabinet?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay.
Like, that would be super fucking dope to buy, like, to build.
Yeah.
I've always wanted that.
Let's jump to that question here. Gil asks, Bobby, have you ever thought of making a MAME cabinet?
I have one. Oh, shit. I've thought about it.
I have one. It's amazing for all the old arcade games. I just use my Raspberry Pi.
He was trying to lead you into that so hard, dude.
I've always wanted to build one, dude. It's always been like my, because I see they're like $400 like $500 because they have like graphics or something on it. But you can build one on your own, and I was seeing like all the stuff you can, like, if you put all the parts together, it's like $100+.
Dude, there's one right now though for $200 straight up.
I know, but I can kind of
Street Fighter 2 machine for $200. I don't know if it's good, but it's out there. It's probably one of these little shorties. You could probably boost it up with a bunch of books that you don't read anymore.
Mm-hmm. So the idea behind this is that you create a cabinet, but you can switch between all the different games. Like, you just program the games there very, very easily. And I've never thought about getting an arcade machine just because of the size. I would have nowhere to put that. And
what about the sit-down ones? Those are sick, dude. I've always liked those sit-down ones where you're opposite of your opponent. You know what I'm saying, Bob?
Yeah, they always had those in, like, the pizza shops. Yeah.
You don't have a table, like a dinner table, so that would be really
nice. I wouldn't even have room for that. And who's going to come over and play arcade games with me?
Your girlfriend.
And probably not. But I don't know. I never really, like, the arcade was never anything I wanted to experience in my home either. Like, the arcade was always about being in the environment. And when I was younger, it was like, oh, yeah, it'd be cool to have an arcade in there. But you know what's interesting about High Score Girl is there's a part in the show where he's like, I'm playing too much console games. I need to get sharp in my arcade skills where it matters. And I was always of the other opinion where I felt like arcades were fun and cool, but really it was about the home entertainment system.
But at he says because it matters because there's people there. And at the time, consoles had no multiplayer.
Yeah, yeah. So it was definitely different back then. But I don't know. I always prioritized and valued playing at home way more than at the arcade.
What does MAME stand for, Bobby?
Multi.
Made at...
Mame.
Mame. Mame me.
Mama mela. No, like, I was going to say. See, watch. X Arcade, Hori, Sanwa... Same as you, the type of buttons that I was talking about, like the arcade like buttons. That's what I was talking about.
What I was laughing at was you saying buttons.
Fucking damn.
Buttons.
Button.
I don't know what that stands for.
Fuck.
All right, cool. Oh, there it is. Multiple arcade machine emulator. Like it.
Yeah, MAME is basically an emulator for arcade games.
Did you, Gil? I like you. Stick around. I like all the stuff you've been saying so far.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mostly complimenting me.
Next question. Demented Warlock asks, best way to apply thermal paste?
You missed Warconia's question, too. Oh, wait, never mind. I just stopped drinking.
I was just telling this to someone who was building his first machine. I don't know why, but I think the best way to apply thermal paste is just with your finger, not with any sort of device or... Yeah.
Really?
Like, I could never get a good, even coat on with anything but my finger. Like, I just have to put it on my finger, rub it in, get a nice even coat there. Perfect. Like, every time I try to use a paper towel or like something to scrape it on, it just never seems to come out quite right.
I feel like you don't really need that. I feel like just one little fucking blip right in the middle. Just a good little amount. Like, I kind of know what the amount is. It's just
if you do the drop, then it'll just push out.
And it'll just be like a circle.
How often do you have to do this?
Thermal paste?
Yeah.
I don't know. You could reapply every, like, couple of years, I guess, if you wanted to, but usually not very long.
It's the initial build.
But when was the last time you did it?
Well, Bobby built that computer
how long ago.
Yeah. And used his finger on me.
Have you checked your temperatures on your computer, by any chance? If they haven't fluctuated that much. If they haven't fluctuated that much, then who cares, man? But I don't know.
I think on my last build, I reapplied thermal paste maybe once or twice, and I had that thing for like 6 years. I can't even remember.
By the what's the brand? Arctic something?
That's Arctic like the, Silver 5.
Ooh, Bobby,
is a good
you're
one.
I like our new T-shirt, the new one coming down the pike.
Which one?
It was just on the screen. That's all I'll tell you. It looks sick.
Nice.
There was a skateboard. There was 40 warriors. There's Dodo 5. What's that?
No, none of that shit.
All right. Next question from Warconius. Emulation is awesome and an important advantage of PC gaming. Why do you think it's not often discussed and promoted in the DLG community and podcast?
Because it's fucking stealing, bro.
No. Because emulation, after a certain amount of time, it's okay.
And also, there's
something that's going to be on Steam, which is like an emulation program. Oh God, I'd have to bring up the Discord to find it again, but it's going to be on Steam soon.
But not just that, but like
we brought up that VR emulation game.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
3D Sen VR.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and there are emulators on Steam. There's a Sega Genesis one. So yeah, I mean the legality of it has always been kind of a gray area.
He had a Pirate Bay shirt once.
Yeah,
there you go.
But. I don't know. I just don't think a lot of people play really old games like that. I think they're fun to go back and play for 5 minutes and just bring up some nostalgia and then you're done with it.
I did kind of mess around a little bit with, what was it called? Dolphin, the emulator for the Wii U.
Yeah.
Is that Wii U?
Messed around with a little bit because I really wanted to, because I sold my Wii U. I owned a Wii U. And when I got the Switch, I just got rid of it completely and went straight to the Switch. And I never got to play Star Fox, so I did use that emulator for Star Fox really quick. And
I tried to get it working because I wanted to use the highest end of... I wanted to use the Switch. I wanted to play the Switch version on my PC, but the Switch hadn't been cracked at the time, so I could only play the Wii U version.
Of Zelda.
Yeah, and even that was really difficult for me. I never got it done. But yeah, mostly you're not talking to very many people.
Retro.
If you're into retro stuff, there's a lot of retro podcasts. Go ahead and move to those, Warconius.
I used to.
Consistently inaccurate, he tells us.
I used to mess around. I used to have RetroArch. I used to use that. It looked like a PS4.
This is the one that's coming to Steam. This will be on Steam on July 30th.
How is that going to be a thing? Well, it's just a software. It's not the ROM. So
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So there are occasionally times where I will load up an SNES emulator and play through a good amount of a game. Most recently, I want to say Donkey Kong Country. I mean, there's some really good Super Nintendo games that still hold up. Even the Mario game.
I have the little emulator, like the SNES Classic and the NES Classic.
Oh, okay. So you can always bust that out if you want.
And then those, I have those. They're modded. You know, I have every ROM on there. I have like, I don't know how many games on each one.
I mean, I played halfway through Final Fantasy.
And they were super fun for like 3 days, and then I never test them again.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Can't have a podcast for those people.
All right, another question from Warconius. Game of the year so far, halfway through the year. Which games have the potential of being the game of the year in the second half of the year?
Oh, shit. I don't know. I haven't thought about that.
So far, and what do you think in the future is going to take game of the year?
Gosh, this is really hard.
A lot of hopes riding on Jedi Fallen Order, but I don't know. Game of the year, maybe not, because
he's talking about first half, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's asking both.
Oh, okay.
He's saying game of the year so far, and what games in the future. I don't know. High hopes for Doom Eternal for the second half, but game of the year so far, God, I don't know.
So far,
fuck it, Anthem. I'm going to stick with it.
Wow.
It's fucking beautiful, man.
Shut the fuck up, dude. It's not the
What else has come out this year, though? What else has wowed you this year, though?
Division 2.
I'll go Anthem over Division 2. But that's me.
Division.
And this is
Anthem.
Why.
Anthem. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Such a trash.
It's the only thing I can think of. That's also.
What has wowed you? What else have we played? That's great. When we've played everything, we've played everything. Every fucking game that's come out.
Games.
But it's been so many games this year.
Came out.
Sekiro was really good.
Fuck you, Admiral Beeth. Anthem is hot garbage.
Sekiro. Where's Chi, man? I miss. It's been two episodes without Chi. Kind of miss her. A little bit.
God, I would have to put some thought into that. Nothing jumps out so far this year.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm going with Anthem is the only thing that really wowed me this.
It's going to be the best game this year.
No, I'm talking about the first half of this year. What's up?
Division 2.
Come on, somebody. Bobby only plays things for me in 1985.
Okay.
You play everything.
Everything. Division 2. That's been the game that we've all played the most, except for you.
Okay. But you played it for one
Like month? A month? 2 months. 2 months. A good 2 months. I have like 200 and something hours on that shit.
Skeptical face.
I have a bunch of hours on that. I even made everyone buy that shit, and it's so good.
I hear your listener question.
And I can open it up
right now. You just tore the DLG apart. That's it.
Damn.
We're breaking up because of this question.
But who the fuck is Anthem 2? One of the most hated games of ever, where like even for E3, the developers were like, it's there. So bad. It was.
I'm sure there's a better answer. I don't know what it is. I'm sure there is.
But I'm drunk. But I'll be honest. I am not happy by saying Division 2. I'm not. Yeah. I'm not 100% because
and I'm not happy about
because
saying
half
because
Division 2 is so great. But it's or also
Anthem.
It's also. But what else? What else can we? Can we?
It's probably for me. It's probably going to end up being an indie title that I'm not thinking of that I really.
Well, Risk of Rain 2.
Ooh.
It's better than Anthem.
Trash-ass game.
Oh!
It is better than Anthem.
Shots fired from the
I had more fun in Risk of Rain than Anthem. No, not really. I had so much fun in Anthem. Yeah, dude.
I'm telling you.
It was dope. Right. Anthem was so cool for the first 10 to 15 hours. And then everything else after that was just a shitty grind fest that made you hate the game. That's all it was. It was super cool robots flying, destroying shit.
I won't disagree with that.
And that's the first 15 hours. But then the story started getting shitty. It started getting really slow.
Okay.
Everything kind of fucking started dying. Then you wouldn't get the loot you were supposed to get.
But right.
And then the classes were so shitty. And then one class was just totally overpowered. The other one was just crap. It wasn't balanced. It went to crap. The game just ended up sucking at the end. Once you really have to get to that point where it was supposed to be deep and you're supposed to like, you know, let's really get like
nitty-gritty.
Get some hours out of this, it wasn't there. Okay. And it fails completely. No. But the impressions at first, yes, it was fucking awesome.
Now, put those 15 hours against any other 15 hours this year so far. I mean, if you look at it that way, I mean, it's kind of a standout. Top three, at least. Production value, graphics, gameplay.
Division 2.
Grasp. I mean, what they were reaching for. What do you?
But then again, Division 2 glued me all the way in. Just glued me the whole time. Just kept me.
Apex Legends
was good when it came out, but it's the same thing. It had us going. Now it's trying to come back, and it's the player base is dying again. I just think maybe battle royales are just done. But
I feel like I'm going to see something.
We keep talking about this year being the great craziest year with so many games coming out. Yet we can't give any title a fucking.
Yeah.
Maybe they all just get lost.
By the way, this is a question of the year.
Until next month. Last question from Cadillacs. Anything I should pick up from Prime Days for this Area 51 raid? So if you didn't know, there was some articles about people talking about organizing and raiding Area 51. Like, yes, people just want to run in Area 51 and see what's going down. Because
they can't. Kill us all.
Because they can't stop us all. Yeah. They can't kill us. That's so good. Dude,
the one you put there. So.
Which one? I put so many.
I know. Okay. So, the good thing about this is it's something new.
Uh-huh.
And because it's something new, the internet went nuts making fun of it. And from all kinds of angles, there's so many memes. Thousands of memes. My favorite one by far was the, like, six black dudes. And it says across them labeled all of us, and then there's this 90-pound white girl, and it says Area 51. It's just like, how are they gonna stop us all?
Yeah, dude, it's so good.
Oh, it's so good, dude.
It's so good. I saw a brand new one today, and it was like 51 Cent, and it was an alien that was going to come out of Area 51 and be the greatest rapper ever.
You're a little too deep, dude.
Oh,
you're
man, it's deep good, in the dude. Game. And then now there's like another one. Oh, well, first of all, they're actually saying that now, like, Area 51, because now it's up to 1 million people, they're kind of like, this might kind of happen, so we might have to kill people. So they're kind of actually kind of prepping for this now.
Yeah, I'd imagine.
And now there's another group, and they're like, let's watch people
get killed.
Yeah, and that's growing even more. And then there's another one too. And then it's let's get our drones into Area 51. They can't stop all our drones.
That's better.
That one's cool.
I can get behind that.
So, but like, you know, some drones are over $1,000. Other drones, you know, a Spark is like $300, $400. If you're, but then again, you have to take off the numbers or something, because I think because like
trace.
Yeah, my drones are registered.
Right.
So yeah, Area 51.
Like these fists.
I don't know. Maybe we should, after TwitchCon House. Wait, is it before or after TwitchCon House? So we have a TwitchCon.
Before.
Area 51 trip. DLG. Area 51.
We're
going to have a bus.
Right from.
Well, actually, you know what? Everyone meets up in Vegas, and then we'll take a bus to Area 51. What's up? We'll start the Patreon.
My favorite one was the way I roll into Area 51 raid, and it was a guy with like roller shoes, those wheelies, and then the way I leave, and he's on like, his spaceship. Yeah,
dude, for some reason everyone's leaving in the fucking Halo 2 fucking. I forgot what it's called.
The Warhog?
No, not the Warhog. The other one, from the aliens, the little red one that hovers.
And
shoots that one, dude. It's like, you know, like a gift from my girlfriend after I raid it, and he's gifting her it's fucking
hilarious.
It's so good, man. And it's probably just gonna be 10-15 people that are just gonna make it there. I feel who knows, man. I don't know.
First of all, this is not happening.
Banshee, yes, thank you.
This is not happening.
Do you think
there's gonna be 700 people show up? They're going to shoot one mortar shell over them, and that'll be it. That'll be the wrap.
That'd be funny. I want to watch that.
It's the desert, dude. You can't run across 500 meters of desert. You can't. You're going to get tired.
Maybe they just walk.
It's not going to happen. Bobby, what do you think about this whole thing?
They can't stop them all.
I don't really care. Like, what is it? Dude, I'm not up with
you
the
You brought
memes.
It up, bro.
No, it was a listener question. It wasn't even the actual listener question. It was like
the memes are so good. It's like the aliens I'm going to date after I free them from fucking Area 51.
The memes are really the best part of this whole thing.
They're so good. I think one of the ones was my favorite were like, I can't wait for this to happen, but, you know, even if everyone else dies, at least the memes were fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
So good. Oh, man. I'm going to start an Area 51 channel on Discord. Hold up.
Wow. All
right, Bobby.
So for the actual part of this question, any recommendations for Prime Days? I did buy something. I don't know if this deal is specific to me because it said something when I bought it that made me think it was, but there was an 8 terabyte external hard drive for $118. Jeez. So I picked that up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm constantly running out of space these days.
What are you?
Don't worry about it.
No, dude, I'm worrying about it. Come on. Let's talk a little bit, Bobby.
No, I'll tell you off podcast what it is, but yeah.
All right.
So my brother is like crazy about finding deals, and he's been linking me to a bunch of them. Like there was a bunch of...
From Prime?
Yeah, a lot of like...
Oh, by the way, in our Discord, we have Dankest Deals. I haven't seen one Prime Day deal. Get on the fucking ball, guys.
Here's the thing, dude. Prime Day is not that good, right? Good. And it's mainly to move Amazon products. Like the deals are on the...
Amazon products.
Yeah, Fire tablet.
I just got an Oral-B, the best Oral-B like toothbrush.
The best Oral.
Yeah. I just got the best Oral on Prime Day.
Bobby does one sexual innuendo, and it's like, yeah.
Oh, boy.
He's dying over here.
That'd be good if you needed a toothbrush, but like...
Yeah, I needed a toothbrush.
Well, that worked out well.
Yeah, I got it for... I got half off.
You didn't get Sonicare?
I got the best Oral-B.
My brother got the Ring, you know, the doorbell thing?
Mm-hmm.
He got the Pro, which is $250. He got it for $50. Nice. Bucks. 50. But it was a price error.
Hmm. So it's your brother who
is on the... Yeah, he's on the ball with price errors.
Yeah. He's on a Discord channel that it's the only way to get an invite is if you pay a monthly fee. Damn. Or a yearly fee. And everyone on there is trying to find these deals. And when they come up, everyone links. You know, and so he jumps on it like... But it comes from like... Like last night, he texted me at 2 in the morning. I was passed the fuck out and asked me. It was a 75-inch TCL TV on Best Buy.
75?
75. And TCL.
For how much?
$300.
Oh, jeez. 4K?
And, yeah, 4K. So TCL is that up-and-coming brand that like everyone's
like, well, yeah, we got one sitting right
here. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, TCL. And it's a 6 series.
By the way, it's worked flawlessly.
Yeah.
For us.
So yeah,
they're like the new Vizios, basically. Like they're really good. They're not like top end, but like they're really good and really good for the price.
Like CNET is like sucking their dick like crazy how great they are. That's a horrible thing to say, but it's just they just love them. They think they're one of the best TVs right now. And the best middle
for the
like price. Mid class
for the
like. And then he compares it to like the Samsungs, the LGs, and all the ones that aren't OLED or QLED. Compares it to all the mid tier ones. And it just outshines out of all of them. The TCL is great. And it was like $300 last night.
Yeah. The QLED one that I want is $1,500. I don't think I'm going to get that anytime soon.
65 or 55.
Well, average size TV. I would say 55 is like
the average.
The basic. Not I got a 60 inch. Yeah, 55. I feel like that's what a lot of people default to. Like a lot of people who want more of a home theater experience, they'll go for the 65. Yeah. But the 55 is just like...
Which is perfect if you're like,
my bedroom.
Yeah, your bedroom. Or like, hey, I'm picking up a TV. I just need a TV for my apartment. Yeah. 55.
I'm actually buying. So like I have an OLED. I have the B7. So like the 7 was 2018, maybe 2017.
Is that an LG?
From the LG OLEDs.
Yeah, those are good.
Because right now they're on the 9s. And then, well, no, that's also 2017.
Mm-hmm.
So that
Get
was my
to the
model.
Point.
So I'm buying. I want a TV in my room because, like, my LG OLED is like the theater room, right? Whatever. So it's like it's 65, looks great. So I'm buying one for my room. I'm buying the new QLED from Samsung.
Yeah.
And I'm getting a really good deal on it, and it has FreeSync on it. So I'm gonna have it in my room connected to my I don't know how it works. I'm trying to figure it out because I've been looking for stuff, but I guess there's no actual graphics card yet that has HDMI 2.1. yet.
No, not yet. I've looked into that. But you can get, it's like 2.1B or whatever the like newest, or no, 2.1, 2.0B yeah, is the newest one that a lot of them have. And you got to make sure you have one of those cables too, which are pretty expensive as well. Like my HDMI cable is like 1.4 or something.
Yeah. So what
like
do you get out of that?
So the cheap
throughput.
Yeah, FreeSync.
Yeah, well, you need a faster HDMI cable to handle that that throughput. Otherwise, I think it's going to lag.
The Xbox One X is the only thing that kind of handles FreeSync right now. And but if you want to go straight out of your computer, then you kind of need 2.1, which no one has it.
Gotcha.
But yeah, it's actually cheap. It's like 700 and something. I think it was on Prime Days. And it was 55-inch. The Samsung Q60R, the FreeSync. The QLED TV, too.
The only thing I bought was, if you're not on this already, if you haven't figured this out, when it comes to sheets and covers, you can go Bobby's way. He gets, what do you have, Bobby? Velvet? Is that what you have?
No, it's not velvet. It's, I don't know.
That other really
silk?
Silk.
Yeah.
Silk sheets. Mm-hmm. Satin. That's what it is.
Satin sheets. Yeah. Wouldn't recommend it.
Bobby has satin. Yeah, it's not great. It doesn't breathe well. You got to go the other way.
Breathe is great. That's what I love about it.
The other extreme is the jersey stuff. It's t-shirts. The softest t-shirts. They make entire bed sheets, covers, everything out of that stuff. I've been on this for like 7 years. Calvin Klein makes the best shit. I just went bootleg this year on from the Prime deal, you know, because it's got a bunch of holes in it now. So it's been years. That is the best shit you can sleep in. Imagine sleeping in a giant t-shirt of a hairy man. That's where you're at. And anyway, check it out. It's called Jersey.
Jersey.
Yeah.
All right. All right. So what's everyone playing next week? I'm going to be watching Double Dragon 1994.
What's my game?
Punch Club.
Fuck. Fuck, man.
I want Punch Club.
All right. But I have your game for the next one, though.
What is that one? I might like that one better.
No, thanks.
All right.
I started reading Dune for the first time ever. Never read that book. It's pretty good. So I am thinking of checking out Dune 2, The Battle of Arrakis, because it actually had two titles. That's one of them. But that is what everyone has always said is the first RTS. It kind of created the genre, at least mainstream. And it's a really old game from like 93. So I'm probably going to check that out. I don't know if it's going to be good enough to actually play through any measurable amount of the game. So I don't know. We'll see. But I'm going to give that a shot.
I'm going to be playing a lot of fucking VR.
Yeah.
If you guys have any, I feel too guilty on buying them. Is any random ass, cause there's a lot of funny VR games are like $1, $2, like random games.
Just, I have a lot.
Just throw them at me. No, I saw yours. I kind of already
at least have 40 or 50.
No, you
did you play,
you're like 15.
So Waltz of the Wizard.
No,
please play that.
Okay.
That's one of my favorites.
But yeah, if you guys want to throw me some ideas on funny VR games, or if you have some messed up one that's really fucked up, you want me to talk about it on next week, I'll do it. Just send me the games. I'm down. There's a lot of VR games that don't exist in anything else, just that. You know what I'm talking about. Send those over. I'll fucking review them. I don't give a...
And I'm Chi, and I will say that I'll play 75 games, but I'm going to play CSGO.
Dude, we played the other day, man.
I saw you guys playing.
We carried her.
I saw.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
I know.
She was like, yeah, I'm the problem here.
Yeah.
At least she was admitting that she was the problem.
I know. She's always been.
Ha! So, anybody want to guess how long this episode is?
Yeah.
What time is it?
2.5 hours.
Holy shit. It was supposed to be a 2-hour episode or less.
We were aiming for like an hour and a half, 2 hours. No, we're 2 hours, 45 minutes.
Oh, jeez. So do we do it?
Do we
put the episode at the end?
No. How about we throw it in like on Friday or Saturday, like a bonus?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
Yeah, at this point?
Just do the midweek. Yeah, because no one's going to want to sit through 2 hours and 45 minutes of us. And then
except for everybody says that they love the 3-hour episodes.
That is true. A lot of people did. Everyone. A lot of people told me too.
Yeah, but I don't know. But still, like, at this point, is it like the podcast is winding down? It just doesn't seem like...
Yeah.
I so
we're
going to
have a
time.
Bonus podcast, guys. Midweek bonus podcast. We just came up with it right now, but you're supposed to get really excited. Stay tuned to that for that. And also, we're going to be giving away a... So follow us on Twitter, digital_logic with a K. And you'll see it go out. And yeah, we'll go from there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Speaking for Bobby, Ray, and myself... Missing Chi Titties.
That sounds, that sounds fucked up. Missing Chi Titties. Oh my god. That's so bad.